I thought seriously about driving home one night. How easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in the button on the side.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, it's all downhill now because this is at the pinnacle, the peak, the Tower of Pisa. But I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field Stadium announcer Philip Robert Jonathan Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know, you make fun, but your days of film might be numbered.
Really, why's that?
You're taking another job.
Doing what?
He's going to brew Hochberg Lager, and he's going to get 6 cents a glass. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Sergio, and all the ships at sea. Hey, get ready for 4 hours of homage. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robin.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode on Thursday, June 15, year 2000. Phone number?
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Yeah, you can reach us toll free at 877-365-3636. Well, I thought we were going to have some fun in the opening segment of the show, but as it turns out, the boy who's been sitting in the lobby for 2 hours, positive that he already knows the new secret sound.
Yes.
That we've not even officially unveiled yet. He's already run away.
Oh, he ran away, huh?
Yeah. A guy called our producer, Charles Broyhill.
Is that the guy we walked by when we came to the...
Called the Minister of Information roughly 3 or 4 times today to say he was positive that he already knew what the secret sound was. So I said to Broyhill, we'll tell him to come down. If he's positive, he knows. We'll put him on the air in the first break, and then you'll get a shaving.
Absolutely.
And here it is, showtime. I walked through the door at a minute after 3 o'clock today to come down to the studios, and he was sitting there, and...
He's gone, gone,
Broyhill
gone.
Just came in and said he's out of here.
Oh, really? Well, that kind of sucks.
He's gone.
Well, it's great to be back in New York, though.
Yes, it is.
Always good to be in the Apple.
For a Thursday.
We're not in New York today, Mike.
WDFK.
You're right.
Hello. Hi, Colette.
Hi.
Hey, what happened to that dink who was sitting out there most of the afternoon?
He didn't want to get his hair shaved.
Yeah, this is the other part that I heard.
Yeah,
he wanted to get.
So Lisa made the right call on that one.
Lisa came in. I sent Lisa out to the lobby to tell the rest of the story. I said, go see if the guy sitting in the lobby is the guy that wants to be shaved if he doesn't get the secret sound.
Right.
And Lisa came back and she said, yeah, it's him, except he wants his pubes shaved.
That's right.
Oh.
And
yeah, see, he just wanted that.
Yeah, Lisa didn't feel right about that because it wasn't something that came up spontaneously. It was like some perv who just wanted Lisa to, to shave his genitals.
He'd just come in here and say, is it a staple gun? And then just immediately drop his trousers.
Right, all right. Well, thank you. Colette, let me know if he shows up again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, baby. See you later.
Well, there's
wonderful Colette at the front desk.
Yes, she's a lovely, lovely lady.
Okay, before we get to today's show, I would like to give you a recap of last night's Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I've already heard from Guy Birdley that it did very well in the ratings.
Yes, it did.
It is the first episode of the show that I've seen that I think sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it last night. Really didn't care for it. Nothing exciting happened. Nothing great happened.
Wasn't as strong.
Nothing gross happened. Rather boring, I thought.
Well, isn't that just great?
Why?
It's the one I finally see, and I thought it was fine.
You hadn't seen the two previous ones.
Right. It was new. It was new to me. It was kind of fresh. I'll tell you one thing. I was very happy with the girl they voted off the island. Didn't care for her. Didn't like her one little bit. I didn't like the way she was. Even though I know that Rudy is an a-hole,
right.
I didn't like the way she said, Rudy. And she said, I hope they get rid of Rudy.
Well, it was obvious from the beginning of the episode last night that they were going to vote her off, that all the other girls hated her. And she knew that the other girls hated her.
Right.
And she knew that the other girls were going to vote her off the island.
And I'm with Rob that I'm beginning to like the guy with the beard.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
The gay guy who caught the fish?
Yeah, all those guys, you know, he's going down there and he's spearing those manta rays or whatever they are, and he's coming up after he's like been diving for 10 seconds.
The two skinny boys are the
just giving him crap.
Busting his balls.
And he goes back down, gets another fish, and then they eat it, of course, and it's like any fish. They actually sell that that kind of stuff in restaurants, and it tastes great, and they're all, oh, thank you. Yeah.
Did you hear the greatest line last night when that lady got voted off for the last thing she said to her team or whatever?
No, what?
She turned to the truck driver lady and said, you changed your vote.
You changed your vote.
Oh, no, it was great. It was a very cold moment.
Yeah, you changed your vote.
Didn't even catch it. Thought it was a very weak Survivor. Not as good as the two previous episodes, I didn't think.
Well, I've got them on videotape, so I'm going to go back and compare.
Well, check out the first one, excuse me, but the second one, the second week where they ate the bug...
Is the great one.
...was better than the first week, but even the first week was better than last week, the third episode.
And I will tell you, and I'm sorry this is all new to me, and I'm a little excited about it. The guy that I like, I do like to host. I know you guys hate the host.
He's
so gross.
No, you got to watch him a couple weeks.
He's such a dick.
No, you'll grow to hate him.
He's a great big guy. Right. He's just perfectly... It's like... At the very end, when she gets voted off, he said, well, time for you to leave. With like a grin on his face.
Yeah.
And when they're coming into the tribunal, when they're walking down there in the pouring, that huge storm is brewing, and they're coming across whatever the rope bridge, and he's sitting there with a big grin on his face like, hi. Hi, how are you? Welcome. Is he always like that?
Yes. Listen, after you watch the show for a couple of weeks, you'll really grow to hate him. You'll be like Frieda and I. Last night, at one point, I don't know if I said it or Frieda said it, or maybe we said it simultaneously, wouldn't it be great if the group turned on that guy?
Yeah,
if the group
happen.
Just turned on the host.
I mean, they're eating rats. They might as well eat him.
And, like, drowned him or something.
That'd be great.
Our very own Survivor show will be happening tomorrow.
Yes.
And
right.
We do have 16 people. At some point in today's show, we're going to open up the lines, and we're going to get some backup survivalists, some backup challengers for the show tomorrow.
I have a question about Survivor last night.
Yes.
What's the deal with the big treat getting the icon or the idol? I mean, after they won the competition.
Oh, yeah.
Where
that's an immunity idol.
An immunity idol. But, I mean, they've won, so they get immunity from having to vote somebody off, right?
No, that means it's not their team that has to vote somebody off the idol.
But, I mean, they've won that anyway, right? So that's kind of an intangible, but they've got to go walk across. He acted like it was a big treat you get to walk across and get your immunity idol. I thought that
they won it when they did the contest to
carry
swim,
the stretcher.
To swim underneath.
Right.
Or was it the stretcher?
Before the contest, they took it away from them because there was going to be a contest, and because they won again, they got the immunity idol back. They got to keep it.
The stretcher challenge was the immunity challenge. The treasure chest challenge was a treat challenge.
A treat challenge. And the treat was the snorkel. And the fins so the guy could go spearfishing.
Right.
But it just, you know, that to me seems a little jive. I mean, I know that the two tribes are competing for who gets immunity from having to vote one of their members out of the Survivor show.
Right.
But, you know, to get the little idol, it's like, I thought he was going to say, hey, now you won, you know, you were the first ones to get the lady down here with the stretcher, and now here's something special. You can walk across to that island over there and get your carved piece of wood that says you don't have to vote your person out.
That's part of the show that we've all hated single week.
Okay.
Along with the lighting of the torches and when they kick the person out, that they take the...
Not too jive last night where there wasn't a lit torch when he finally kicked the woman out.
Yeah, and normally they take like a coconut shell and they put it over...
The torch.
Her torch to signify that she's out of the competition.
No, I'll tell you, I was very excited last
night. I hope they pick up. Pick up the pace.
Good.
Last night was not that great.
I did notice that it seemed like the hatred picked up last night. There was a little more hatred, you know, between the various group members than there had been before.
And that's what we're looking for tomorrow on our own edition of Survivor. When you meet...
Backstabbing.
Yes, when you meet these 16 people who will be pitted against each other while at the same time working in tandem to pamper Tom the Monster Gaffin.
Absolutely.
That's on tomorrow's episode. Okay, a few phone calls, and then I think we'll start today with what is rapidly becoming a real popular feature on the show, the radio soap opera, As the Ahern's Turn.
Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Matt. This is the guy that came down yesterday and guessed the secret time.
Right. Hi, Matt.
Hey, listen, I think I forgot on the air yesterday to thank you guys for the opportunity. So that's the purpose of my call. I just wanted to call you guys back and say thanks very much. I appreciate it. Everyone was real nice. So thanks very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Matt.
Secondly, I just wanted to call out that guy that came down this afternoon and chickened out at the last time. He's I'm going to have to label him under the big plus category.
Well, I think his real goal is just what it was speculated.
He wanted to have his genitals shaved.
Yeah, he wanted to show his genitals to one of our female staff members.
No, I mean, if you really think you know the sound and how you think you could know it, that's what had me baffled about this guy. Where I told Broyhill, sure invite him down today. If you think that you know the sound, based on the two times we played it on yesterday's show.
I seriously think I know it, and I'm going to write down my guess for you.
Really?
I seriously...
Not a chance. Not a chance. Write it down. What are you writing down?
It's not a home sound. That's the only thing that I might be wrong here, but that's what it sounded like to me.
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
Mm. Absolutely.
Is it a good guess?
No. Okay. You're nowhere close.
Nowhere close?
Nowhere close.
Okay.
However, I retain the right to tell somebody, if they call with that guess, to tell them that's a good guess to throw them off.
Ah, very good. Okay.
But I'll be honest with you. Not even close.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, fellas.
Hi, buddy.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
I'm calling from New York, and I was wondering if you guys could do me a favor.
Yes.
Would you guys mind playing me the secret sound, since I won't be hearing it till at least 7 o'clock tonight?
What a polite man from New York.
Yes, of course. I'll play it for you now. No buildup or anything. We'll just play you the sound. Give you a guess. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, here you go. There you go. That's your guess. That's your clue. What's your guess?
Sounds like somebody opening or closing the trunk on a car. A trunk lid on a car.
No.
Sorry.
That was a previous secret sound we'd used anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, though, my friend.
Thank you.
Where are you calling from in New York?
I'm on Long Island.
Beautiful. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Thank you. Listen for yourself tonight on the radio.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye-bye. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you.
I'm calling from New York. I was wondering if I could take a guess at the secret sound.
Wow.
Oh, honey, we just let some guy do that.
Oh.
We just had a guy from Long Island call.
You were just a second too late.
Oh, okay.
You were just a pubic hair too late. Thank you, though.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I want to congratulate Mike on being able to remember that it was 8 o'clock for Survivor last night.
Thank you very much. Oh,
hold on. You didn't tell everybody the truth from two nights ago.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't. I forgot. I didn't even tell that yesterday. So I come in yesterday to the office, and I say to Don, I said, there's something wrong with this TV show Survivor and myself. He said, what? I said, I'm driving home. This is Tuesday night. Tuesday night, I get in the car, and I bust ass out of here. I jump into my car, and I'm driving as fast as I can to get home. I get home, and I turn on the CBS affiliate here in Washington, D.C., and I see Drew Barrymore talking about the AFI list, and I realize it's Tuesday night. I had the wrong day. There's something wrong. So I get in the car to just speed as fast as I can. Well, not really. Obeying all traffic laws.
Of course.
I get home as soon as I can, and there's a traffic jam because of the Tina Turner concert last night? Yeah, yeah. So I call my wife like in a panic, and I'm like, put it in tape! Put it in tape! Just like she knows how to do that, and I don't, and I still got home with
her. The real part of that story is that amazes me is the fact that there was actually a traffic jam to see Tina Turner.
Yeah, huge one. Huge one. Absolutely. A lot of people out there. Lots of limos. Lots of big, huge stretch limos last night.
Go figure. Hello, Don and Mike show.
The tour is hot. It's been selling out all over the country. It's been doing very well. It's one of the biggest concert tours.
And, of course, tonight there will also be a traffic jam like there is every year as all the parrot heads go out to see Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Well, that's what you get for living right next to the Nissan Pavilion,
yeah,
Mike.
People. All right, and the secret's out. I'll tell you where I live now. I live at the Nissan Pavilion.
Hello, you're on the air.
The trailer next to the Nissan Pavilion.
Buddy.
Hello, buddy.
Hey, Mike, your favorite alligator wrestler. Is going to be in town on Saturday giving a little show. Your favorite little Australian down under guy?
Steve Irwin, mate. That's right. He's going to be there with his crocodiles.
All right, mate.
Later.
You know, he's just not as popular as he was.
No, he's not.
He was hot for a while.
He was when he was new.
And we had him on the show, and we had his wife on the show.
Now he's, like, settled into his kind of a Jack Hanna.
Yeah. Sad to say her. Who was that, who's the lady who used to go on Joan Embry. Joan Embry. Right.
Before
Joan Embryo.
Marlon Perkins.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Jim Fowler.
Hey, guys.
Hi. What?
Just wanted to let you know, my favorite part last night on Survivor was when the guy was sitting there cooking the rats and the girl goes, no matter how hungry we get in the ghetto, we don't eat the rat.
Right. And then she ate some rat.
And she liked it.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the guy started yelling, quit Bogart and all the rats. We going on a rat kill tonight.
Yeah, because everybody liked the flavor of rats. They tasted like chicken.
Hello, a Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I heard you day before yesterday talking about Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex on Superman and his and Lois. And
yeah, I'm finally gonna get to that today about what would happen if Superman really had sex with Lois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry Pernille wrote a short story about that, and it's like the funniest story I'd ever read before. you know, they say an orgasm's like an epileptic fit, and what would Superman do to the woman in his arms?
All right, well, don't ruin the story. I mean, don't give the story away.
Is he talking about the story that you have?
It's related to the story that I have. Once this original guy wrote the story about what would happen
right.
if Superman really banged Lois Lane,
sure.
other guys have written stories that even build upon this guy's original theory about what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Superman bang Lois Lane.
That sounds like a legion of compulsive masturbators to me.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
This is DeStefano down in Florida. I saw Survivor for the first time last week, but I think next week's episode is one to be looked forward to. All the ladies, at the end of the show this week, they showed a little clip, a preview of next week, and the ladies were just griping about how they had to sleep out on the beach in the homemade huts, and, they just look miserable. It's going to be very entertaining.
You know, we've had guys call us say that there were hot girls on that show, Survivor. I watched last night. Tell me which one of those girls is hot on that show.
No, they all kind of look like, they're the repelling mountain climbers.
I mean, I know that they're all skanky because they're on an island and they don't have modern conveniences and stuff, but still, they're just all giant skanks.
Yeah. Yeah, they it doesn't help that they've been on the island without food. They look a tad emaciated.
Yeah, 9 days on an island isn't going to make a nose get any smaller or eyes stop being crossed, darling.
Thank you, Rob. Hey, do we have the scripts, Robbie?
Yeah, you want them?
Yeah, bring the scripts in.
Here we go.
Want to get right to this today because I know that many, many people are paying attention now to our daily soap opera, As the Ahern's Turns.
And I like the way you're trying to do it, like at the same time, same station every day.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. Buzz, you have your script there? Beautiful.
Just now, yeah.
All right, Mike, you'll be handed yours. I think you'll know that today Rob Spiewak is playing a slightly different role.
Yes, Rob cheated and told me what he was going to do today. I think it's a marvelous idea.
Oh, yeah. I will remain as Frank's father. Mike, you will remain as Frank. And today the role of Sergio will be played by Robe Spiewak.
All right, very good.
And I'm sure everybody by now knows the setup on this.
Sure.
This is dedicated to the guy at the Washington Post who suggested in his article a few days ago that our show be replaced with an afternoon drive time radio drama.
Absolutely.
So if we are ready, let's roll the organ music and cue our announcer.
It's time for yet another episode of As the World Ahern's. When we last left them, the Ahern's family had just received a deep, dark secret about our hero, Frank. They finally told him something that hadn't seemed to bother Frank for well over 30 years. They told him he had no genitals whatsoever. Frank actually seemed unfazed by this development. After all, he had never seemed to need genitals before, but deep down it started to trouble him. And so, uncharacteristically, Frank actually made a decision. He would not, as he told his family, go dancing in DuPont Circle with his chum Sergio. Instead, he would go to a local hospital to get an implant. We join Frank and Sergio as they arrive at a respected area hospital. Frank turns to his chiseled, handsome partner and says,
Sergio, once I get my fake penis, I'll be one step closer to being a well-respected pseudo-journalist. I have a long way to go, but at least I'll be able to pee standing up.
See,
I'm sorry. We've got to go to the emergency room for this, but I'm just too anxious to wait till morning. I want it now! I need a penis right now!
Right now, Senor Frank, we do it in the emergency room?
No, sweet Sergio. I need my implants.
Just then, the handsome interracial couple is approached by a brilliant staff physician.
Oh, I guess they played the doctor today, not Frank's father. So, what's all this then? With all that yelling, my guess is that you're either a very lonely asexual eunuch, or you need an implant.
Actually, you're right on both counts, Doctor. Doctor Bandwidth.
Doctor Chip Bandwidth.
At your service. Nice to meet you, Doc. This is my, friend, Sergio.
Hello, young man.
And my name is Francis H. Ahern's, and I want to buy some plastic genitals.
Ahern's, Ahern's. Hey, I know you. Aren't you that radio columnist for the Washington Star?
Why, yes, I am. Are you surprised to learn of my dilemma?
No, not really. I've actually done genital implants for dozens of radio columnists. You know, it's funny. None of them seem to have any balls.
Yeah, it sort of comes with the territory.
See. Before we get started on filling out your paperwork, I was wondering if you mind if I asked you a question about the radio industry. You know, some insider stuff?
Go ahead, Doc. But I doubt I'll be able to help you. I'm just an asexual peon who writes the radio column because I lost a bet at work.
Really?
Yep. Truth be told, I don't even like good radio. Oh, sure. I love stale radio dramas from the 1920s, and I occasionally listen to tired old West Coast classic rock stations over the internet. But if it's current or compelling or considered entertaining by the masses, I can't stand it.
Frankly, boy, I'm surprised.
Well, don't be. That's what makes me Frank Ahearns, the radio critic without a clue. But I'll try to answer your questions anyway, Doctor.
All right, here's my question. My question is about the Don and Mike radio show.
I hate them. All their talk about sex and women, who really likes that?
Actually, I do.
Oh.
And so do all of my friends.
Oh.
You see, boy, we're all well-educated, high-salaried professionals, and we never miss a minute of the highly entertaining, nationally syndicated Don and Mike show.
Oh.
In fact, aren't they consistently number one in the Arbitron ratings?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know how to read a ratings book.
Well, what do you know, boy?
I know I love All Things Considered on NPR.
But what about that fantastic, spontaneous moment just yesterday on the highly entertaining Don and Mike show when their engineers got pulled over for speeding by an undercover cop? Why, that might have been the greatest bit of live radio I've ever heard.
Well, I guess I missed it. I don't get very good radio reception in my creepy, dark basement room, so I never listen. But that doesn't stop me from writing my idiotic columns.
Now then, boy, about your surgery, I'll need some information. Name and occupation?
I'm Frank Ahearns, and I'm a pseudo-journalist and an internet webmaster.
Your address?
Scatlover.com.
No, I think he means your home address, Frank, darling.
Oh, right. 1313 Sodomy Circle in Gaithersburg.
And how will you be paying today?
My HOMO should cover it.
Excuse me?
I said my HMO will pay.
I thought only people with real careers got health insurance.
So, this isn't through my pretend job. I got it through our social club. It's a men's chorus.
See. Now, I must warn you, boy, there may be some bleeding. Are you all right with that?
Oh, sure. I've seen lots of blood down there. I just got accustomed to the anesthesia. I normally just have a cranberry juice.
I see.
But I'm not nervous. I came to this hospital when I had my bowling trophy incident. And the monster jar. And the light bulb.
And don't forget the 2-liter Pepsi bottle.
Just then, the doctor is approached by a lovely nurse who says,
"Pardon me, doctor. I have the test results from that car accident victim."
Thank you, nurse.
Not at all, Dr. Bandwidth.
Very interesting case. It seems this poor hapless retard was driving on U.S. Route 50 yesterday, calling someone on his cell phone and vigorously picking his nose when he was suddenly overcome with crippling homophobia.
Really, senor?
Yes, he suddenly thought that everything in the world was either gay or accusing him of being gay.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is. He just kept driving and picking and being homophobic until he drove right into a concrete abutment. He hit it so hard, he cracked his rectal vibrator.
So, is he gay?
Yeah. Yep. Gay as a $3 bill.
Uh-huh.
And these charts show no sign of brain activity.
That's horrible.
Not really. They were taken to a checkup before the accident happened. So, no damage.
Well, Doc, how about my new fake vagina?
Boy, don't you mean penis?
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, the soonest we could do it is next Wednesday, the 21st.
Let me check my schedule.
Hey, I'm free. Let's do it.
What is that, boy, a Palm Pilot?
Sort of. It's called an anal almanac. I bought it in Greenwich Village. I'd never miss a date. Right, Sergio?
See.
Join us next time when we hear Dr. Bandwidth say...
Good God! I've never seen anything like this before! The testicles are rejecting it! The patient!
Only on As the World Ahearns.
Bravo! There you go, another exciting edition.
Fantastic.
Of radio's number one continuing soap opera drama, done in the old fashioned style.
Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, you know, the only thing I forgot today, I'm sorry, we did have a sound effect ready. We had, the hospital corridor.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, we never got to that today. Well,
that's too bad.
If we do a replay later in the show,
excellent.
We'll make sure that we work the hospital corridor in. We'd like to also thank Toya Swallows for coming in and beautifully playing the role of the nurse.
Yes, wonderful job, Toya.
Yes. So that is today's episode of As the World Ahearns.
It was riveting.
Yes. Okay.
I rated the survivor.
Getting better every day.
Mm-hmm.
And wait until tomorrow, because you know, good things always happen on Fridays. That's when they leave you with a gigantic cliffhanger.
Yeah, you have to have a big cliffhanger.
Never know what'll happen on Friday.
The nail biter.
On As the World Ahearns. Okay. Listen, today is TV star Leah Remini's birthday.
Is it really?
And you know, if we don't at least call to leave her some type of a message,
she'll be angry.
She will be pissed. So let's call her now and wish her a happy birthday.
She's dirty 30 today. Oh, that's right. This is the big one, the big 3-0. Yeah,
she was concerned about this one.
Yeah. Calling TV star from King of Queens, Leah Remini.
She's just a kid.
Dirty 30.
Dirty 30.
Buzz. Dirty 30.
Is that your own buzz, Dirty 30?
No, that's an old family line.
Mm-hmm. Something passed down from great-grandma Burbank.
Right, that's right.
Seems that all the Burbanks used to have to do something when they were 30.
Yeah.
And it was very dirty.
Always. Very.
Idiot. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Leah is not available.
All right, let me try your cell phone, okay?
Very good. Maybe we can reach her if the celebration hasn't already begun.
Hold on. You know what I just did? I just did try her cell. Hold on.
Okay.
8-5-0.
They must be getting the tents put up.
Having all the ponies brought in.
All the assistants blowing up the balloons.
The mimes.
Band flying in.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Bar Entertainment.
Yes, hi. This is Don and Mike. Is Leah there?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Is this Michelle?
Yes, it is.
Michelle.
Michelle, you're on the radio.
Am I?
Yeah, I thought you weren't working for Leah anymore.
No, I don't work for her.
Did you come back for the fabulous birthday celebration?
Actually, I'm still training the girl that's taking my place.
Ah, still training the new one.
So there is no fabulous birthday celebration?
Actually, there is a fabulous birthday celebration.
Really?
Could be there.
With pony rides and mimes and...
Absolutely.
Les Moonves.
A moonwalk, skywriting.
Yeah, she wants to know if you want to talk to me or you want to talk to her.
Oh, dear.
Okay, we want to talk to the Dirty 30.
Yep.
Okay.
You better tell me what they said. What did they say?
They said, we want to talk to the Dirty 30.
What'd they say?
There you go.
Here we go.
I'm getting old.
Happy birthday to you.
We don't forget.
Happy birthday to you.
We never forget.
Happy birthday, dear Leah.
We remembered.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's
hey.
So sweet.
And many more. happy birthday, Leah.
Thank you, guys.
You're very
That's
welcome.
So nice of you.
And how will you be celebrating your birthday today, Hollywood style?
It's not Hollywood at all. Well, I'm going to start cleaning my house in a minute with Michelle. And I'm going to go pick up the dog crap in my backyard.
Now, come on, really. Tell me, what are you going to do?
I am not messing around with you.
Now, what kind of Hollywood party are you going to have tonight?
I'm not And Michelle is trying to talk me into going to the grocery store right now.
Has Angelo managed to find himself in town?
No, Mike, I got to tell you something.
What?
Remember how we were talking about, oh, was that you, Don? I forget, who were we talking, about gifts and, oh, it was Don.
Yes.
Remember we were talking about gifts and you were saying, oh, you're screwed because even if she tells you, then she always wants something else?
Uh-huh.
So I wake up this morning, I'm in a foul mood. I went to bed crying, by the way, last night.
Why is that?
I don't know. Angela was asking me what's the matter, and I decided, I think I'm just, you know, I'm 30.
30.
You know?
Oh, I gotcha.
And so he babied me, you know, last night, and that was good. But I woke up this morning to, he had gone through all the photo albums, right? Took out all my baby pictures and teenage pictures and wrote a book for me. You know, like, oh, she started out and her dreams were to be a star. And then there was a picture of me, like, smiling.
You know, that guy's figured out every single way to cover a holiday without spending a freaking dime
on
you.
Absolutely.
Every single holiday, that guy manages to give you something homemade and spends a dime on you.
After the scrapbook, was there any kind of, like, new Ferrari out in the yard or anything like that?
As I was saying, so I read the book, and I got all teary-eyed. Not even teary-eyed, I was actually crying.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in the back of my mind, I thought, that's very nice, but there's got to be a real gift somewhere.
Of course.
So I realized, Don, that you were right.
Thank you. Let's put that on tape. I'd like to play that back for future reference. So did he get you anything?
I know he did.
What did he get you?
I don't know. I gave him two choices. One was Italian lessons. I want to learn how to speak Italian.
Hey, bene, ciao, bello.
Okay, and what else?
Okay. Or I said he can get me a leg press machine, being that I've been working out for 4 years and I don't have a hint of a calf muscle anywhere.
So you get a special weight machine?
I think so.
Right, or?
Or the Italian lesson.
You mean to tell me?
You know, I got a scrapbook for my 30th birthday. I did. Yeah. My sister made a scrapbook for me for my 30th birthday.
But did you love that?
Well, I do love it because it was the funniest thing in the world. When there was one page of it, there are pictures like of me as a kid and stuff. And I got to one picture, which was just a piece of black cardboard with nothing on it. And the caption was, Mike shared many fun moments with his cousins. Well, you know what? I'll always remember
that. But there's a difference between your sister.
Yes.
And your husband or your boyfriend or your wife or your girlfriend.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's more maintenance involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a brother or a sister,
that's why I would think that
you can get away with that.
I would think that the best is yet to come. I would think that Angelo, I mean, while he probably put a lot of time into that scrapbook, that there would be something today.
Well, wait a minute. How much time did he put into it? She's crying last night, crying like a baby.
Probably. Did he do it overnight or had he done it before?
Well, it seems like he put some time into this because there were pictures that I think he had to get from my sister.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. So he didn't like do it like after you went to sleep.
I mean, that was my thought, though. She's crying like a baby, and all of a sudden he goes, hey, hold on.
Right.
If I go down, I make her a scrapbook.
No, I don't think he did that.
Instant gift.
No, it took some time. It took some doing. Well, what I'd like from you guys for my birthday.
Besides this beautiful impromptu call?
Yeah, I want something else.
What?
Okay. I would like, and Rob could get in this, you know, if he wants to.
Rob, why don't you come over to the microphone?
I would like to hear a scene from Mommy Dearest, from Mike, Don, and Rob.
Oh, we just did a radio play, for goodness sakes, Leah.
Well, I don't care. I mean, you know, I haven't been listening, and I don't know what's going on.
All right, which one you want to do?
You want to do the one where you guys are the kids playing in the...
Okay.
All right, Rob and Dom will be the two, and Buzz, I guess, can do it.
Okay, Michelle wants to listen, so she's running down to the phone.
It's my ball.
Wait, Michelle picks up the phone. Wait.
Well, whose birthday is it, Leah?
I know, but Michelle really wants to hear. Okay, go ahead. Go.
It's my ball. Give me the ball.
No, it's my ball. Let me have the ball.
Give me the ball.
Christina,
Christopher, damn it. Helen?
The next line. I forgot.
I ask you to keep the children quiet today.
I ask you to keep the children quiet today.
And for Christ's sake,
keep them out of the garden. Have Tina bring me my coffee.
There you go.
Okay, Mike, do the pool one.
Wait, what about wire hangers?
Shut up, Michelle.
You don't do the wire hangers one.
No.
Oh, you lost
Mike,
again.
Do the pool one.
Okay.
Okay.
You lost again.
I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I will always beat you.
I'm not swimming with you ever. Ever again.
And then you're supposed to say that, but that isn't fair.
Because that isn't fair.
Nobody said that life was fair, Tina.
All right. Happy birthday, you pampered Hollywood star.
Happy birthday, Leah.
Happy
birthday.
I
love it. Thank you. Hang up, Michelle.
All right.
I love it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Happy birthday, Leo.
Have a wonderful birthday, and we'll call you again to find out how the whole birthday day went.
Yeah, call me tomorrow, because I am having a party.
Of course you're having a party.
And it's not a Hollywood party.
No, it's an A-list Hollywood party.
What is it?
Probably with, like, llamas and
you know what it'll be
exotic
like?
Birds.
Speaking of Mommy Dearest, it'll be just like the party that she had for Christina, where they're all wearing their little party dresses.
Funny. It's not a Hollywood party.
No, it'll be 100% Hollywood party.
Very relaxed restaurants.
Oh, yeah, relaxed spagas. You have guys walking around with playing the violins and stuff. And when you come in, everybody will stand and applaud.
First of all, I don't go there. Never have been there. And where did we eat when we went to go eat?
Some crappy place.
Yeah, went to the Daily Grill.
Yeah, like in a mall.
It was crappy. You loved it.
Like in a little mall.
Yeah.
In a strip mall.
You will go somewhere fancy tonight for your dinner.
And then who was running around the house making you coffee and whatnot?
Well, Leah, you were, but that's not the point. The point is tonight's your birthday.
And but I'm not doing a Hollywood thing at all.
You'll be doing the total Hollywood experience.
Are your co-stars?
I want to tell you all about it, and I want to tell you what I got.
Will your co-stars be attending your party?
Yes, Kevin is coming.
Excellent.
The writing staff is coming.
Wonderful. Is that director that looks like Pete Townsend, is he coming?
Yes, your favorite director is going to be there.
See, then you know what? Then it is a Hollywood party, because you're surrounding yourself with Hollywood people.
And my family is going to be there, and my niece and nephew, and my godchild is going to be there. You know, it's like a family slash work thing.
Hey, I saw you in another show. I saw you in that show with Sharon Lawrence. What was that show called?
Fired Up.
I saw you, like, doing a scene with Kelsey Grammer.
How was I?
When you, like, you're in a big ballroom or something.
How was I?
And you were wonderful. You were different than you are on the show now. You were not as edgy. It was interesting.
Really?
I found it fascinating.
Mike, I think I'm quitting smoking today.
Well, that's good. I haven't had a cigarette in...
Okay, here we go.
I haven't had a cigarette...
Shut up, and I want some freaking support from you!
Here we go.
I haven't had a cigarette in probably over a
20
month.
20 minutes?
No, over a month.
Seriously, Mike?
Over a month.
Very good.
Mike, don't lie.
That's
Don?
The truth. No, that is the truth.
Don?
Over a month. You remember, you've been with me up in New York. Have
that's
you seen
true.
Me smoke a cigarette up in New York? Rob, have you seen me smoke a cigarette
you know
while
I've
we've been going up in New York?
I saw you smoke cigars.
A cigar, yes. A cigar.
But I even offered you a cigarette and you turned it down.
That's
you
right.
said, no, no.
That's right.
Wow.
Will of Iron. Mike O'Mara, Will of Iron.
That is great.
Well, no, come on. How many times have you announced on the show that you quit smoking?
Well, I quit and I start again. But it's been a long time. I quit right around the time I did that life insurance thing. And I quit because of what you said, because they'll always catch you if you get lung cancer.
Yeah. So that's it. But, I mean, if you don't lie on your life insurance and you tell them you smoke, what the hell?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right, go ahead.
Take you, Mike?
What's that?
They wouldn't take you?
No, it was just something where that was right around the time when they're asking me all these health questions.
I told Mike
I decided to do it. I also
Should you lie on a life insurance when the guy comes to your house and says, "Do you smoke?"
And he said it was about cigars. At that time, I had already quit smoking, and it was about cigars because I do occasionally have a cigar. And I said, "Yes, I do smoke," because Don had said, "You know, you might as well just go ahead, pay the premium, and then there would be no hassle for your relatives if you bought the big one."
Right. What happens if you lie when the guy comes to your house? He says, "Do you smoke?" And you say, "No." Then you die of lung cancer.
Right.
Then the guy from the insurance company comes. And he's talking to, you know, the widow Frida, and he says,
right.
Well,
he's right. You would absolutely screw yourself.
Yeah, I think so. So that's it. But, I mean, before that, I'd gotten, like, a little cold, a little chest cold, and I quit during that time, and I never went back because I didn't like the way I felt.
Very good.
All right. That's good. That's what I'm going to do.
You're both very
lying. I'm lying through my teeth.
Are you really?
I just realized I'm lying, and I didn't even... That's like O.J. create your own reality lying.
Mike, you've been smoking and you've been lying?
I smoked last Thursday when we were in New York after you guys all went to bed.
Okay.
And I went down to the hotel bar, and I was bogeying cigarettes off of everybody.
Wow.
Okay.
So it doesn't... I have to be honest.
I stand by my original comment.
Will of Iron.
Will of Iron.
You're right. You're right. I'm so embarrassed.
Same with you, Leah. You'll never stop either.
You know what? I'd like a little support from you, Don.
I think you could give us both a little support, Don.
I love both of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm thinking...
But you won't stop. But, Lee, I'll tell you this. You're worse than Mike.
Now you're really on drugs.
There's support.
Not anymore. I'm not, honey. That used to be my vice. I don't do that anymore.
Leah, correct me if I'm wrong. You don't exactly smoke like a chimney. You have them around all the time, but you're not... You know, you're not like I am when I'm smoking cigarettes.
Mike, you smoke one after another.
I know I do.
Yeah, you light your other cigarette with the cigarette that you just finished.
I do.
Leah, does that sound familiar to you?
I don't do that.
You don't light one cigarette with the next cigarette.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing!
Rob!
Rob, Rob, she wants you at the microphone.
Smoke a cigarette one after another?
Never once, darling.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You're very wrong right now.
Okay. So that's a good time, though. Your 30th birthday is a good time to quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So you're officially stopping today?
No, I'm going to officially stop tomorrow.
Oh. Okay.
I can't be expected to not be smoking at my big Hollywood party.
Because it's your birthday.
You know what I mean?
All right, well, then we're going to write this down in our day planner.
All right, well, let me tell you this.
You officially quit
before
smoking.
Before you start carrying on, like, tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I am going to give myself one out, and that out is this. If I want... What are you laughing at? If I want to have a cigarette with coffee in the morning, then I'm going to give myself that one cigarette.
I think that's smart. Okay, I think you got to ease out of something, because cold turkey is very hard to do.
Technically, that's not quitting.
Right.
Technically, it is quitting. If I said to a doctor, if he goes, do you smoke? No. But I have a cigarette with coffee. He's like, oh, all right.
It's not necessarily quitting, but it is moderating, and that's a good thing.
Moderating? Going from 19 to, going from 20 cigarettes to 19 is moderating?
Ah, 20 cigarettes a day.
What?
20 cigarettes a day. One right after the other.
Oh, God.
First of all, I don't smoke one after the other. I pace myself, as opposed to Mike, who is a real smoker.
Well, I'm a binge smoker. I'm a binge smoker. I don't. I will go
two
weeks at a
day,
time.
Right, Mike?
What's that?
Two packs when you're like hanging and having.
No, he does not smoke two packs a day. I would bust him on that. He does not.
I mean, but when I do,
at least a pack and a half.
Well, you know, when I do, I
know you went through my cigarettes in 5 minutes.
That was I was very nervous and very excited at the same time.
You were?
I was filled with emotion.
Were you filled with emotion?
Yes, I was filled with emotion and excited. I was happy. I was sad. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. It was very, very, it was just exhilarating being hanging around you because you got that kind of personality.
Hey, Leah, are you by the web right now?
No.
Oh, you know what? You should go to that website.
Right.
That same website where you saw those pictures of Charlie.
Yeah.
And you should look at pictures of Frida on her birthday. When she came down here, we got her a stripper for her birthday.
Oh, give me the website address again.
www.XPOSED.
What? Wait, what?
XPOSED.
Okay.
.com.
Okay.
And click right on, there's a picture of Frida, click right on there.
Okay.
If you were here, we'd do the same for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, baby.
Okay.
All right, I love you guys.
Happy birthday. Love
you
too, Leah.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Birthday.
Bye-bye.
Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
This is a wonderful meeting of Smokers Anonymous.
You know, that's so weird. I, like, blocked that.
Wow.
And that, because that was the only time.
But you know, at least you're honest about it.
You pissed me off.
You could have kept it to yourself.
Oh, I was mad at myself. I felt horrible about that. I mean, because really, I mean, that was the one night within the month that all of a sudden, but I mean, that was just like, as soon as I started, it was like, excuse me. It's a Japanese couple that I was bumming cigarettes off of. Really, didn't speak a word of English. I was going, cigarette? Horrible habit.
Smoky.
Smoky.
Rocky Strike. Oh, Rocky Strike.
Marlboro. You got Power Marl?
You smoky.
Oh, fantastic. Ooh, cool menthol.
Hey, Joe. Okay, time now. Let's clear these lines. Time for a call 100 right now.
Yeah.
877-365-3636. The brand new secret sound number 4. What?
I just might as well, if I'm purging, I might as well tell you what else I did that night.
What, was your butt bleeding? What else did you do?
I played the bongos. The guy,
last Thursday night?
Yeah. Yeah, and what is that place right next to the hotel? Whatever the place
is. Oh, I know. That little cafe.
Yeah, it's not Thai. That's Thai's one up. This is the place right next. I mean, there's a door off the lobby of the hotel. And you took a right to the elevators. I took a left in there. And by the, you know, an hour into it, I was playing playing a little bongo drum.
So many secrets come out 1 week later.
Like I said, Mike hates to see the night end.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Well, listen, it's time for secrets now, number 4, which is worth $500. Be the 100th caller right now. 877-365-3636.
Horny, nasty guys waiting to please you. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
My next life, I'd like to come back either as the seat on Leah Remini's exercise bicycle.
Yes.
Or as her boyfriend, Angelo.
Ah, Angelo, what a life he has.
What a scam. Leah, I live with you in the Hollywood Hills. I live in this beautiful house that you pay for. And here, for your birthday, I took baby pictures of you and put them in a book.
Here is your scrapbook.
Happy birthday. And this is coming off Valentine's Day.
Right.
Remember when she was so excited that he took a piece of cardboard and drew pictures on it for her.
Maybe later on this afternoon he'll give her a pottery ashtray that he made with his own clay.
I draw you pictures because I love you. Now I must go out.
So I'm going. Listen, I'll only be there for an hour of the party because I'm flying to New York.
Because I have to sing with my band. And, oh yes, will you pay for my plane ticket, please?
Of course, Angela doesn't have a trace of an accent, but when we're doing Angela on the show...
I mean, it's the only way to distinguish
you. We have to. You know, absolutely.
Of course. Hello, Leah.
Leah, I've made a scrapbook for you.
Leah, can I have my allowance, please?
I would like an allowance. I would like an airline ticket to New York. And some Elmer's glue.
Happy birthday. Look, it is pictures of you when you were a baby.
Or
you were crying like a baby last night. I love you so much. Goodbye. I'm off to San Francisco. Happy birthday.
What a deal. Yeah, it's a wonderful deal.
What a deal.
No pressure.
You know, one of these days, we got to interview Angelo.
And find out what it's like.
Without Leo on the phone. We've got to interview Leah Remedy's boyfriend, Angelo.
That will have to be a very delicate interview.
Yeah, it is.
Angelo Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
You just want to guess the secret sound?
Yeah, right. You're the 100th caller. What's your name?
Scott.
Hi, Scott. Where are you calling from?
Alexandria.
Scott, you are the 100th caller. Scott, you have won a 6-foot plush crocodile. Imagine what guys on plushie.com would do with this.
Do we have any extras of those? Do we have any extras?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Croc Week begins June 18 on Animal Planet every night at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Check your local listings, Animal Planet.
Pretty strange, the things I request.
Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
Sure.
$500 online, brand new, secret sound. We'll play it for you now. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
Thank you.
All day today.
And we wish you... Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is, a brand new everyday sound. Okay, louder, bigger than the other sounds. That's it.
And the odds are in my favor.
Oh, yes! For $500. What is that sound?
Is it a phone hanging up?
Oh, we're sorry.
Maybe a phone on the Ponderosa hanging up. No, I take it back. They didn't have phones on the Ponderosa, but you know what
phone
I mean.
Hanging.
Like a Mayberry RFD phone, like the guy that had the string hanging from the wall that you had to crank to get going.
Right. Hell of an effort.
No, not a chance. Thank you, though.
Sure.
And don't forget that almost every guest
is a clue for you.
It's a clue for you. Listen, as long as the lines are hopping, let's do this right now.
All right.
Tomorrow we are going to have perhaps the most exciting show we've ever done. The Don and Mike, Tom Gavin Survivor Challenge. We do have a team of 16 people. Let me see. Let me count the girls. Okay, we have one, two. We only have two girls and 14 guys.
Wow. Wow, we do need to balance it out a little bit.
We could use some women, but... You know, being as it's just a game of survival, there's no nudity involved, there's no sex games or anything. We'll just take whoever calls. We need at least four standbys.
Some alternates in case, we have a last-minute no-show.
Now, for these people, as it turns out, if the original 16 do show up tomorrow for the beginning of the show, for the Survivor show, the four people on standby will each be given wonderful prizes and asked to get the hell out of the building.
All right.
So just please keep that in mind. If you'd like to participate, call us now, 877-365-3636. These are for the alternates.
Yes.
For tomorrow's Tom the Monster Gavin Survivor Show.
Very good.
Which will be, I promise you, more entertaining than last night's real episode of Survivor was.
Excellent.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi. I just want to know what the secret sound was that number three.
The number three was a phone jack being plugged into the wall.
Oh,
Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
I wanted to talk. Are you still doing the Survivor extras?
Yes, we are.
We are indeed.
Ah, could you use an extra then?
Yeah, we need four alternates. Do you mind being an alternate?
I'd love to be an alternate.
Now, you understand that if all 16 people show up tomorrow, we'll give you a prize and kick you out.
All right, that's fine by me.
Beautiful. What's your name, my friend?
My name's Robert.
Robert, where are you from?
I'm from Arlington.
Beautiful, Robert. Hold on a second, please.
Sure thing.
Hold on.
All right, he will be the first alternate. Robert will be the guy that moves in as soon as there's a no-show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like to be an alternate.
Okay, what's your name?
Kevin.
Kevin, please turn your radio down.
Did.
Pardon me?
I just did. Sorry about that.
Thank you. Sorry. Disqualification.
Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, we're doing great.
Great. I haven't heard you all since you all were on Wave. I don't usually listen to 106.7, but I was fishing. I was like, you all sounded familiar. I haven't heard you all since, like, I was 14 and you all were doing power party trains in nowhere and running buses through Tina Marie.
This is one of those benefits for a radio station that doesn't advertise.
Right.
Great.
You know, we have been on this station, on WJFK with number one ratings for 9 years now.
Get in the Dodge!
And this guy has just discovered that we're on this station.
Oh, well, actually, I've been in the Air Force, and I don't listen to off-brand radio stations. Anyway.
Thank you. Well, thank you for referring to this as an off-brand an off-brand radio station.
We're older. Sir, we're older, we're nastier, we're dirtier.
Cool! Hey, I heard you all hate Kathy Lee.
Yes, well, we hated Kathy Lee back when you listened to us on the other station.
Why don't we run a bus through her face and Regis?
Oh, come on, please. Now he's reminding us of stuff that we did, you know, 15 years ago one day when we drove a bus through a gigantic picture of Tiffany, that teenage singer.
You know, with scheduling and different things, I suppose, you know, you could be that out of touch. But, you know, that's really like not knowing who's president.
Amazing. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, those chicks on Survivor, one truck driver, Susan, she looks like Sammy Hagar. The other chick, Kelly, the river guy, she looks like Screech.
Oh, you're right on both counts. You're right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
You need still look for another alternate?
Need three more, my friend.
Yes. I'm your man.
Yes, man. What's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan, where are you calling from?
Fairfax.
Ryan, you've heard all about this gig, right?
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. Hold on, Ryan. We'll get your info. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Okay, so we need two more alternates and we're set.
And the second alternate, Ryan.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I could be an alternate for you.
Okay, good. What's your name?
Billy Bob.
No, come on. Drop the phony stuff.
Hey, that new secret sound is Louis Anderson shooting table grapes out of his ass.
All right. Hello, Don.
Table grapes.
Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I want to be an alternate.
Okay, beautiful. What's your name?
Tony Chiodi.
Who is this?
Tony.
Tony.
How old are you, Tony?
42.
Oh, you're lying.
No, you're not.
I don't think
so. I'm serious.
No, come on, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'd like to be an alternate.
Beautiful. Love to have you. What's your name?
Jennifer,
where are you calling from?
Ellicott City, Maryland.
Ocean City. You know you have to drive.
Ellicott City.
Ellicott City. Ah. Beautiful. Much closer. Okay, beautiful. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Hold on now.
Okay.
We need to give your information. And then we had room for one more alternate. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I was calling to be an alternate. I don't know if it's too late now.
It's never too late.
Oh, it's great. It's great to get two ladies, two guys and two ladies for the alternates.
More girls. What's your name?
Jennifer Scott.
Hi, Jennifer. Where are you from?
Waldorf, Maryland.
And you've heard all about the Tom Gavin Survivor Show?
Yes.
Beautiful. Hold on, please.
Okay.
That's it, then.
Okay, I have an asterisk for the last two Jennifers. One would be the Waldorf Jennifer.
We have 16 on the list who have made the cut, and four alternates beyond that. So we have a total of 20 people tomorrow. Excellent. For the Survivor game. So either way, even if four people drop out, we'll still have two teams of eight, and this will all happen live tomorrow here on the Don and Mike Show.
I think it's going to be just fantastic.
Now, we do have a follow-up item before I get to this Lois and Clark thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we've got some Father's Day stuff to do because we have some Father's Day prizes to give away.
Very good.
Today, even though Father's Day is not till this weekend.
Right.
Tomorrow's show will be all about the Survivor, so we're going to do that today. Remember yesterday we were talking about the radio station in Spokane?
Yes.
They wanted to market some kind of near beer or something with our name on it.
Apparently there was a microbrewery restaurant type place that made beer and they wanted to make Don and Mike brew.
Right. Right, and it's just the whole concept sounded
cheesy and small, yeah, hinky, small-timey. Well, they've come back with this proposal. Dean Allen, general manager at KFAN Spokane, Washington, wants to market the beer as KFAN beer, the beer Don and Mike said no to.
No! No, that take our names out of it.
Right. I think we should call the guy. Don't you agree?
Yes. It's time to talk with Dean Wormer.
We just got to get this taken care of. Nip it in the bud.
Okay. Dean Allen.
Here we go.
Dean Allen.
Dean Allen with you.
Sounds like you'd be part of the Rat Pack, not a real name.
Hi, everybody.
Dean Allen.
It's Dean Allen with you. Dean Allen on a good looking Thursday.
Wouldn't that be their counter proposal, though?
Of course.
When you're doing it on the cheap.
Sure, I'm happy it's Thursday. S-H-I Thursday, everybody.
Hey, send this counter proposal. It's Hello? The beer they said no to.
Hello, is this KFAN?
Yeah.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on there? This is a radio station? Pardon me?
Hello?
All right, I'll call back.
I sure hope that wasn't the radio station.
Sounded like a cell phone.
Yeah, it didn't sound quite right.
Well, I said it is KFAN, and the guy said, yeah.
Right. Maybe it was Dean Allen himself.
Good afternoon, Citadel Radio Center.
There we go. Hello, this is Don and Mike. Do you mind going on the air with us? May we please speak to Dean Allen?
Hold on for a moment, please.
Thank you.
And tradition. You know, the great traditions of affiliates continue. Some other radio station.
Right. Well,
playing on their phone system.
They own a cluster, I'm sure.
Of course.
And, you know, our show would be much too offensive for them to put on the hold system.
Right. Of course.
Start every morning with the Morning News Express. Only on 1510 KGA.
Jesus. They put this crap on the hold? What if I was an advertiser calling to place a giant schedule on the Don and Mike show?
Alternative and the home of Spokane's only 105-minute peak music set.
Welcome to everything that's wrong with radio.
It's right here.
Oldies 101.1 means great oldies.
Dean's gone for the day.
Ah, of course. Who's in power right now? Who's in charge?
It depends on who you need. Did you need somebody from KJRB, or did you want somebody?
No, honey. Yes, KJRB. That is, they call it KFAN, right?
Yes.
Right. Who's in charge right now at KFAN?
Well, there's Steve Cody, who's the general manager.
Yes, let us talk to him.
But he's not here. Let me see who is in charge right now.
And, of course, at all of these outfits, no one's ever there.
If there was an emergency right now with KFAN, who would you put the call through to?
Let me find out. Hold on for a moment.
Yes, and there's the answer. Let me find out.
Thank you for calling.
Hi, Charlie.
Hello, I've already spoken to Dean.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I did. I talked to him right after I gave you that note.
Did you tell him no to that?
Yes, I did.
And his response was?
Okay.
Did you tell him it was maybe the dumbest thing you'd ever read?
No, I told him the dumbest thing was asking us to put the name on the beer. This was second.
And continue.
KFAN beer, the beer Don and Mike said no to.
Quite a counter proposal.
Right.
Certainly it's win-win for us.
For all your news and information, you only need one station. News.1510 KGA.
No, I've still not heard anything about the station that we're on.
No, I've heard something about an oldies station. I've heard something about news.
With the Morning News Express, only on 1510 KGA.
This is music. Jesus.
105.7.
Renaissance Festival.
Spokane's Rock Alternative. And the home of Spokane's only 105-minute peak music set.
God. Radio is such an industry of lemmings, aren't they?
KDGI. You're listening to KDGI. K, don't get it.
Dean and Rusty every weekday morning on the all-new...
Now I heard a show.
Dean and Rundy.
He does the morning show.
Oh, well, that's the guy, Dean Allen?
Dean Allen does the morning... And does he run the whole thing?
No, he's the program
director. He's the program director.
They have a new general manager. His name, I believe, is Jim.
Don and Mike. Papa Joel Chevalier.
I heard Don and Mike.
ESPN Radio.
I mean, but they threw Don and Mike... Don and Mike. And all the other... Don't forget the Morning News Express.
Now, what would happen if this was a real emergency?
You'd be screwed.
Bob and Tom in the and classic rock that really rocks all day.
Oh, please.
How many radio stations?
You know, this is now pissing me off. If they own all these radio stations...
Hi, this is Ron Avalon with KGA and KFAN.
Yes, hello, Ron. This is Don and Mike. Do you mind going on the air with us?
In regards to...
Will you answer the question, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. In regards to a proposal we received from Dean Allen.
Ah, okay.
Can I ask what you do at KFAN?
Yeah, I'm his assistant.
You're the assistant program director?
Yeah, well, I'm his assistant. I don't have the official title, but I'm in charge when he takes off, yes.
Well, that's horrible that they haven't given you the title. Is there an assistant program director there?
No, there isn't. Our operations manager is Ray Edwards. He is available. He's in charge of all the stations.
What are you, like, the bud boy? I mean, what do you...
I'm like the gopher boy, see?
Oh, you get coffee and stuff like that?
Yeah, I get coffee and stuff like
right.
that.
So why did they put us through to this guy?
Because they just don't get it.
This would be like if somebody calls here and has to speak to Ken and they got put through to Rob A.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
You're right. I'm also the producer of the afternoon talk show host on our sister station.
So you're a man wearing many hats.
I'm a man wearing many hats, yes, sir.
All right, well, you sound like they have got you like on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
And how old are you, like 14, 15?
31.
Oh, my God.
31.
Round of applause for 31.
31.
There you go.
How much are you making, $7 an hour?
Oh, close to that.
Close to.
You know, you're one of those guys that sometimes we suggest you just bring them all into a room and duct tape them.
There you go.
Just put out a list of demands.
I agree.
This guy, Dean Allen. Now,
yeah.
Between us, he's got to be a super weasel, right?
I wouldn't say that. No, actually, he's got some guts.
Okay, that's a yes.
Okay.
All right, he's a weasel.
I'll tell you why we're calling. Yesterday, he faxed us a proposal, some hinky proposal, for some local microbrewery where they wanted to make some kind of Don and Mike beer, and we don't want to be associated with that. So we said no. And then he called back today and left this message that he now wants to market the beer as KFAN beer, the beer Don and Mike said no to. And our response to that is, how stupid do you think we are?
We don't want to be anywhere near this.
You don't want to have any beer with your name on it whatsoever.
No, of course not. If we don't want to be on the beer, you know, with our name, we certainly don't want to be on a beer that we said no to. It's still using our name.
Did you fax Mr. Dean Allen and let him know this?
Well, you know something? It wouldn't matter whether we did or we didn't, you see.
Yeah.
Right. Do you get that?
Yeah, got it.
Okay. And we're not faxing, we're calling.
Right.
Yeah, got it.
So what we don't want is another response from him saying, okay, how about KFAN beer, the beer Don and Mike said no to twice?
Okay.
That's where I imagine he's going to go with this next.
Okay.
And you might also mention to him that if you guys own, how many stations do you own?
Quite a few.
How many? Give me the number.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. You work here.
Seven in the Spokane market.
Right. Seven in Spokane. Seven. How many are FM?
I believe five are FM.
All right. Then why are we on this broke dick AM station?
Well, it happens to be one of the hottest AM stations that people are listening
to. Listen, I got news for you. The word hot and the word AM are not synonymous. Okay?
How many AM stations are you on?
We're on lots of them.
Right, and we're pissed about all of them.
We hate being on AM. If there's ever an opportunity for this show to be on FM, this show, when you put it on FM, it slays the dragon.
And I'm sure you have at least one station where all they're doing is playing like a box of Jethro Tull records and Led Zeppelin records, right?
We want to be put on an FM. Tell Dean Allen we want to be put on an FM station.
You tell Dean Allen he puts this show on FM in Spokane, we'll consider KFAN beer the beer Don and Mike said no to.
I will pass the message personally along to him as soon as I get off the phone with you. That's my promise to you.
And where is he at right now?
He's out in a meeting right now, and usually heads home later in the afternoon.
And secondly, what's your first name?
Ron.
Ron, walk in there when he gets back. Take your shirt off. Stand on his desk. Look down at him and say, I want to be known as the assistant program director, not as Dean Allen's assistant.
And if he says no, pull down your pants.
Absolutely, and sit on his face.
And then take a nice big one.
I got it.
Right on his desk.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And for God's sakes, man, tell him you want to make at least as much as someone working at McDonald's does.
You just say you're tired of being abused. You produce the afternoon talk show, and you do all of his work for him when he's away drinking at lunch.
And does he drink at lunch?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't drink at all.
No, what he does, he doesn't tell you he's drinking it.
No, actually, he doesn't. No, I've known Dean Allen pretty much all my life.
He doesn't drink a drop?
Nope.
Oh, well, that's his problem.
Yeah. So you're very close to Dean Allen?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've known him for almost all my life.
Have you ever seen him nude?
No, I haven't seen him nude, no. Huh.
Is he married?
Yeah, he's married to a beautiful wife, yes.
Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
Ah, all right.
I'm married to a beautiful wife, too.
Okay, so do you guys have kids?
Yep, I have actually four. Two from a previous marriage and two from this new marriage.
Oh, my. Wow. Babies having babies. No,
so there must be some child.
Guess what? I got fixed.
You got, and there's another guy who's proud of a vasectomy.
Guys are proud of having vasectomies.
Too late.
There's nothing to be proud about with that.
I know. Everybody tells me that.
No, we just got to add to the shopping list for this guy. You're going to have to go have that undone. You know that.
Yeah, I know. That's what my mother-in-law says.
How do you support four children making less than $7 an hour?
It's amazing. My wife keeps good book. She's a great bookkeeper.
Wow.
You see, I give her the money, see?
You have to pay some child support for the other kids?
Not really. $100 a month, that's it.
Wow.
$100 a month.
I got lucky.
$100 a month?
That's it.
Wow.
Well, that's like the deal my brother got in Wisconsin.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I suppose the other fathers that are listening are going to be really pissed at me, too. And believe it or not, my lawyer was a woman.
Does Dean Allen have any kids?
Yeah, he has two boys.
Two boys.
Are they both his?
Yep, both are his.
All right. So
great kids.
And this is his first marriage?
That I don't know. I believe it is, but okay. I'm not sure on that.
If you were not on the radio, would you be sucking this guy's ass?
I'll just say, yeah, I pretty much suck his ass even when I'm not on the air.
Well, there you go.
All right, thank you for the honesty. We appreciate that.
No problem, guys.
And listen, again, now let's repeat. What's the message you're going to give Dean Allen when you call him?
Well, the big answer is no. Unless you go on an FM station, then a beer can be named after you. And I have to stand on his desk with my shirt off.
And?
Right. And tell him that I have to be his assistant program director and I got to have the title.
And if he doesn't do it?
And if he doesn't, I'm supposed to pull down my pants, sit on his face, and give him a big one.
Right, you got it.
I got it, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay, have a good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man, we could use an ass kisser like that around here.
We sure could.
Look at that attitude.
That poor son of a bitch.
That's great.
That poor, poor boy.
Dean Allen's probably... You know, we're so fortunate that we got to talk to that guy instead of Dean Allen, because it would have been another one.
Well, hey, what's wrong, guys? Yeah. Hey, listen, RJ... Go get me another Starbucks right now. Stop, chop. What do you think I'm paying you $6.50 an hour for? Thanks, Dean. Dean Allen.
Dean Allen.
Wow. Dean Allen. Get this right out to Don and Mike. K-Fan beer, the beer Don and Mike said no to. Great idea, Dean. Thank you, RJ. May I suck your ass a little more? Why put Don and Mike on one of our FM stations when we can play the same tired 200 records over and over again?
We have seven stations. Seven stations in one trailer.
Seven stations, and they put us on the biggest piece of garbage station they have.
Of course.
And, you know, and sadly... Our audience responds.
Yeah, we're getting numbers out there.
I don't mean sadly your audience responds. I mean, it's sad to say, we pull a gigantic audience in Spokane on that broke dick AM station.
We do indeed.
Even with that.
Imagine if they put us on FM.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy calling us now from Spokane. Hello, RC. RC?
Hold on. Wait a minute.
The phone sound dead.
Did somebody hit the delay? You know, somebody must have dumped out something we said. Look at the dump button is not lit up.
No, we're still on.
Well, there we go. Hey, find out if they delayed out anything that we said. Maybe when we were did they just delete that out?
Yes.
You have to delete that out.
That they took.
Yeah. You know, the great double standard of working here.
Man, oh man! I didn't know that one was on.
So
the list.
So you could say that he kisses his ass,
right?
But you can't say that he sucks his ass. You know, explain it to me. Somebody explain to me the rules around here. I'm really going to need the rules written down with exactly what you can and cannot say.
That might be a big book. That might be a big thick book.
And incidentally, I'd like the same book to be given to every disc jockey
yes.
that works in this company.
I agree with you. You know, I think conformity is one thing, but you know, to conform to certain guidelines is one thing, but when there's absolutely no consistency
right.
in the rules, it's very difficult for us to sit here when we hear other guys
yeah.
you know, say different things and nothing gets delayed. But with us, ooh, all eyes of the giant insect on us.
Right. Oh, listen, they said the word ass, then they said the word suck. Oh, delete.
Warning, Will Robinson.
Delete.
Oh, meanwhile, the other guys that are on every other show here. Yeah, whatever.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, friendly reminder about our wonderful station in Spokane.
Yes, sir.
This last year, you guys got preempted by State B Basketball. B Basketball.
All right, thanks for rubbing it in.
Actually, that's not just the end of it. Their sister station,
yeah.
they bumped the B Basketball for Supersonics Basketball, but they didn't bump it for you guys.
Oh. All right, I don't get that, but whatever.
Dr. Whatever. Laura.
Okay, thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm calling from Spokane, and, you know, one of the reasons why you're on an AM station out here is because most of the FM stations suck, and most of the hillbillies around here listen to AM.
So you say most of the people listen to AM.
Yeah, lots of people listen to AM.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, it's no secret that a lot of people are listening to this show on this yeah. particular radio station.
But you guys are on a sports talk show, and you follow Jim Rome, so I'm sure, that's why you got some numbers, because there's a lot of listeners.
Oh, right, that's why we're so successful.
There's the answer.
Jim freaking Rome, right.
Nothing we've ever wanted to do more than follow Jim Rome.
That's right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Jesus.
Hello.
Hi.
Of course, if we were following him, we could push him.
Hello.
Yeah, is Don and Mike?
Yes, we are.
Hi. First of all, let me say this is the first time I've ever gotten through to you guys. I'm a new listener. I just moved to the area. But what I was calling about is that the guy you were speaking to over Dean Allen's office, he repeated your instructions incorrectly.
Why so?
Well, because you told him that if you could get put on an FM station, then you would consider the offer of endorsing the beer or whatever.
Yeah, we knew that. We weren't
right.
sweating the details.
I mean, it was close
him.
Enough.
I mean, right. he was right on the edge.
He repeated as, if you got to get put on an FM station, you will go for the
beer. He was close enough. He got the gist. Listen, okay. do I have to let you in on something? None of it's ever going to happen.
Did you say you're just you're a new listener to the program?
Yeah, I just moved to the area. I'm in the military.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that explains a lot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
A detail man.
Yeah, there's right. a guy you want to work for.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I live about 100 miles from Spokane, and if you were on FM, I wouldn't even be able to hear you, so...
We are getting calls from the listeners that are siding with the AM signal on this particular station.
I mean, I'm not going out of a limb when I tell you that AM sucks and
right.
FM is good.
Yes.
Well,
who wants to listen to AM? And I say that knowing that we're on like 30 AM radio stations.
I don't doubt that there are certain regions of the country where AM is advantageous for geographical reasons.
Right.
But
Hills.
By and large, the rule of thumb is that you want to be on a nice, crisp, shiny, clear, powerful FM station.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
From Spokane, you guys cannot switch to FM.
Why?
Because you guys get such better reception with AM. I can listen to you from Sandpoint and Bonner's Ferry all the way to Lewiston.
Well, it sounds like there's a theme here.
Maybe just in the hillbilly cities we broadcast to, we could be on AM. But in all the real cosmopolitan areas, we should be on FM.
Right, slick FM signals.
Well, it's Spokane. I mean, anywhere around Spokane, we can listen to you on AM. With FM, you only get about 20 minutes outside of Spokane, and it goes dead.
Okay, all so right. for the outlying areas, it's better to be on AM.
Like I said, for all the hillbilly cities,
right.
it's probably best we're on AM. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And I think his phone reception backed up what he was saying.
Okay, we have to do a break. We got way too into that. When we come back, we'll finally get to the Superman Lois next.
America's favorite turgid talkers, Don and Mike.
All right, so a couple of days ago, when Buzz was trying to get the news started, something reminded me, something of Superman, and we got going on the discussion we've had many times about, could Superman really bone Lois Lane?
Right. Could he have the control, or would it be totally involuntary and wreak total havoc with his geesh?
And as it turns out, someone literally did, I think this is a some type of a school final exam paper.
Okay.
Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex.
Very good.
He's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, blah, blah, blah. Kal-El, alias Superman, is still a virgin. This is a serious matter. An unwed Superman is a mobile Superman. Thus, it has been alleged that those who chronicle Superman's adventures are responsible for his condition. But Superman's cartoonists are not to blame. Superman's sex problems are strictly his own and quite real.
Hmm.
Chapter 1. What turns on Superman? Superman is an alien. An extraterrestrial.
I always have difficulty with that. You know, I know it's the truth, but it's always, I always think of Superman.
He's from Krypton.
I know, but I always think of him as such an American.
His humanoid frame is doubtless the result of parallel evolution. Do not be deceived by appearances. Superman is no relative to Homo sapiens.
Mm.
What arouses Kal-El?
Don't you think you could do this with a little lisp? You know, like the basement of the... sounds
well,
like we're taking
it. I can't do it, Mike, because I take it seriously.
I know you say, but you will. You will. This is pretty much the domain of the science building,
and,
right?
And if I feel it gets to that level,
very good.
I will come and do that
okay,
for you.
Thank you.
But right now,
all
I'm
right.
still
I understand.
Serious as a heart attack.
And I will respect
this.
That, absolutely.
What arouses Kal-El's mating urge? Whatever it is, Lois Lane doesn't have it.
Really?
Some speculate that she smells wrong.
I mean, for like his alien lust?
She smells less like a Kryptonian woman and more like an extraterrestrial monkey.
Kryptonian women wow. smell like root beer.
A mating between Superman and Lois Lane would feel like sodomy and would be, of course, by church and common law. Assume a mating between Superman and a human woman designated Lois Lane for convenience.
Okay. This guy doesn't like Lois Lane. Doesn't even want to use it as an example.
Right. Either Superman has gone completely schizo and believes himself to be Clark Kent, or he knows what he's doing, or he just no longer gives a damn. 31 years is a long time.
Without sex.
Superman has X-ray vision.
That's Charlie Stossel.
He knows what he's missing. One should not think of Superman as a peeping Tom, however. As a child, Superman may never have known that things had surfaces until he learned to suppress his X-ray vision. So what he's saying is Superman can see through people's clothes, but Superman doesn't because he chooses not to.
Oh, so he chooses not to do that.
Because
he could see right clean through to the innards, though, couldn't he? I mean, like bone, and so it would look like an X-ray machine, wouldn't it?
Yes,
he has that kind of power.
Right. During sexual intercourse, orgasm resembles a kind of pleasurable epileptic attack. One loses control over one's muscles.
Well, that's everybody.
Superman has been known to leave his fingerprints in steel and in hardened concrete, accidentally. What would Superman do to the woman in his arms during what amounts to an epileptic sexual fit?
Oh, this is horrible.
Consider the driving urge between a man and a woman. Remember, we are dealing with Kryptonian muscles. If, having intercourse, Superman would crush Lois Lane's body in his arms while simultaneously ripping her open from crotch to sternum.
Oh, my God.
Gutting her like a trout.
This is where this guy's into his own little grim world here.
Lastly, Superman would blow off the top of Lois Lane's head.
Oh, my God.
Ejaculation of semen is entirely involuntary in the human male in all forms of terrestrial life.
Mm-hmm.
It would be unreasonable to assume otherwise for a Kryptonian. But, and this is what we've said, what I've said for the longest time on the show about Superman's sperm. With Kryptonian muscles behind it, Kal-El semen would emerge with the muzzle velocity of a machine gun bullet. One can only imagine that the Kent home in Smallville was riddled with holes during Superboy's puberty. In view of the foregoing, normal sex is impossible between Lois Lane and Superman.
Now, poor old Superman. Yeah.
First, we must collect Superman's semen for artificial insemination. The globules will emerge at super speeds.
So you got to really like he's got a geese, and then you got to like get a Jeep or something to go over to the other side of the state.
Superman must first ejaculate, then fly frantically. We assume that when Superman is masturbating, he is on the moon, both for privacy and to prevent the semen from exploding into vapor on hitting the air at such speed.
That backs up Rob's thing about the Fortress of Solitude, but that wasn't on the moon, right? That was at the North Pole.
He can catch the semen, of course, before it evaporates in vacuum. He's faster than a speeding bullet. But can Superman keep his super sperm? All known forms of Kryptonian life have superpowers. The same must hold true of living Kryptonian sperm. What type of a test tube would hold such sperm?
Oh, that's right. So the sperm itself would have Kryptonian life muscles.
Break through.
We will assume, because we must, that Superman's sperms tend to stay in the seminal fluid, which tends to stay in a simple glass tube. Thus, Superman can put his sperm into a regular glass tube, and Lois Lane can perform artificial insemination. A ripened but unfertilized egg leaves Lois Lane's ovary and begins its voyage down her fallopian tube.
Hey, cool, this is biology class now.
Sometime later, tens of millions of Superman's sperm released from a test tube begin their voyage up Lois Lane's fallopian tube.
Well, they would all be perfect.
The magic moment approaches. Can a human breed with a Kryptonian? Do we even have the same genetic code? On the face of it, Lois Lane could more easily breed with an ear of corn than with Kal-El. But if the genes match, one sperm arrives before the others. It penetrates the egg, forms a lump on the surface, the cell wall thickens to prevent other sperm from entering. Within the now fertilized egg, changes take place, and 10 million Kryptonian sperm arrive slightly late. Were they human sperm, they would be out of luck. But these tiny blind eggs are more powerful than a locomotive.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, that makes sense. This is, what am I, I'm getting sucked in.
See? Lois's thickened cell wall won't stop them. But they will all enter the egg, obliterating it in an orgy of microscopic gang rape.
Wow.
So, you cannot artificially inseminate Lois Lane.
Because the sperm would be too powerful.
But her problems are just beginning.
Oh.
Within her body, there are still tens of millions of frustrated Kryptonian sperm. The single egg is now too diffuse to be a target. The sperm scatter. They scatter without regard to what is in their path. They leave curved channels, microscopically small. Presently, all will have found their way to the open air. That leaves Lois Lane with several million perforations leading deep into her abdomen.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Lois Lane becomes desperately ill. Meanwhile, sure. Tens of millions of sperm swarm in the air over Metropolis.
Oh, so that now
they're out of her.
They're out of her and they're free.
They're flying.
This is more serious than it looks. Consider, Superman's sperm are indestructible. Within days or weeks, they will die of lack of nourishment. Meanwhile, they cannot be affected by heat, cold, vacuum, toxins, or anything short of green kryptonite. Metropolis, due to Superman's sperm, will be shaken by tiny sonic booms. Wormholes sprout magically in all kinds of things. Metropolis Night becomes alive with a network of eerie blue lines of radiation from Superman's sperm.
I understand.
Which is now, you know,
all over the place.
It's like flubber. It's bouncing all over the place.
Okay.
And women who Superman has never met find themselves in a delicate condition. Consider, Lois Lane won't get pregnant because there were too many of the blind, mindless beasts. But whenever one sperm approaches an unfertilized human egg in its panic flight, it will attack.
Okay.
How close is close enough? A few centimeters? Are sperm attracted by chemical cues? It seems likely. Metropolis has a population of millions, and Superman's sperm could travel a long and crooked path before it gives up and dies. Seems not unlikely that Superman could actually impregnate several thousand women.
Wow.
What's this guy saying?
No, I understand. What he's saying is that they'll all separate, but the initial artificial insemination wouldn't work because there's so many of them.
And it would,
but if one individual was to find a certain woman,
they'd all blow out of Lois, like 10,000 of them blow out of Lois.
Right.
Then they start bouncing around like Super Balls.
But if one finds a woman, it could happen.
It could knock her up. And what they're saying is out of all of those, probably a couple of thousand women will get knocked up by Superman. That a couple of thousand of his sperm will find their way into women.
And then we have like a generation of Supermans, right?
Several thousand lawsuits would follow. Superman could not afford to pay. The above analysis gives us the answer. In our experiment of an artificial insemination with Superman, we must use a single sperm. This presents no difficulty. Superman may use his microscopic vision and a pair of tiny tweezers to pluck a sperm from the swarm.
Solution.
Now, how do you get the sperm from crashing through Lois at these speeds that are going to tear up her insides? Is there a way to slow down Superman's sperm?
Is there?
Gold kryptonite.
Gold?
Gold. Remember,
kryptonite.
Regular kryptonite makes Superman weak.
That's right.
Green. Red kryptonite makes Superman crazy.
Is this in the article or is this off
the top
of
your head? No, this off the top of my head. Gold kryptonite robs a Kryptonian of all of his superpowers permanently.
Ooh.
Remember, now, green kryptonite, if you put it by Superman,
right,
he gets all weak and woozy.
So Superman would have a normal child.
Yes. If we were to expose Superman himself to gold kryptonite, we'd solve all of the sex problems, but he would be Clark Kent.
Now, I hate to be too detail-oriented here, but if you exposed all of the fluid to gold kryptonite, then it would be just like normal sperm.
Right.
And so you could actually put it all in there, and you wouldn't have to pick one out with tweezers and microscopic vision. So you could save yourself a step if you were going to do that. You just wave the gold kryptonite over the tube.
Right, but if you do that... Well, you know, I don't know. But...
Sounds
good. Let's say, I understand what you're saying. Superman takes a sperm, he puts it in a test tube,
and then like it Lois, to gold kryptonite, it becomes
and
normal
it becomes,
sperm.
It becomes a regular sperm.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, everything's normal, so all the little
Wait.
Swimmers are in there.
Though exposed to gold kryptonite, the sperm still carries Kryptonian genes. If these genes are recessive, Lois Lane carries a developing human fetus. There will be no more Supermen. But there could be mutations.
Oh, no, dear. We don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen at all.
And if the Kryptonian genes are dominant in the unborn baby, could the baby use his X-ray vision before birth? After all, with such power, he could probably see through his own closed eyelids. That could leave Lois Lane sterile.
Wow.
If he starts using his heat vision...
Poor Lois.
He could kill Lois.
My God, this woman is... She ought to just stay away from Superman.
And of course... If the baby starts to kick, it's all over.
Yeah.
He will kick his way out of Lois's stomach into open air, killing himself and Lois.
Oh, no. Well, then it just can't be done.
Horrible. Is there a solution?
Well, my God. Does this guy come up with a solution?
There are several.
All right.
Each has drawbacks.
Mm-hmm. Of
course.
Very positive article.
We can make Lois Lane wear a kryptonite belt around her waist.
Wouldn't that kill the baby?
But too little kryptonite may allow the child to damage her, while too much may damage, kill, or retard the child.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, if Superman's baby comes out and it's Tom Gavin.
That would be very difficult.
Let me see, there's no safe way to experiment. A better solution is to find a host mother. We've not yet considered the existence of a Supergirl. Now, the real Supergirl, I'd like to point out, could not mate with Superman because she's his first cousin.
Okay.
So... She couldn't actually, I guess, if your first cousins, here's a question, not from the article.
Mm-hmm.
If they're first cousins, if you took Superman's sperm and put it in Supergirl,
right,
the baby would still turn out to be an inbred, right?
Yes. You never know what's going to happen.
Roll of the dice.
It's a crapshoot. That's absolutely right. You never know what the result would be. So you would be taking a chance.
Risky.
Thus, the only possible solution would be to implant the growing fetus in Superman himself.
No.
Wait,
there are places in a man's abdomen.
I'm sorry.
Where a fetus could draw adequate nourishment.
No, we're not going to have a pregnant Superman.
Bro, he has a parasite.
Now, this guy is he's lost me now.
Wait a minute.
Sick.
A real solution would be to implant the growing fetus in Superman himself.
Of course. That's it. And that's the whole point of this article.
There are places in a man's abdomen.
What this boy wanted to do.
Where a fetus could draw adequate nourishment, growing as a parasite, and where it would not cause undue harm to surrounding organs.
Oh.
Presumably, Clark Kent could take a leave of absence.
Now, does he get further into the maternity Superman clothes?
When the time comes, the child would be removed by cesarean.
Yeah,
now,
right.
Here's a question. How do you remove it with a cesarean when Superman's skin is indestructible?
And Superman has to have a uterus.
It would have
to provide nourishment. So you couldn't provide nourishment by because the stomach and any of the other internal organs do not provide the kind of nourishment that the Kryptonian baby would need.
Uh-huh. It would have to be removed early, but there would be no problem with incubators as long as it was fed. Uh-huh. So what they're saying is you take out the baby, like, I guess, immediately.
Yeah.
I leave the problem of cutting through Superman's invulnerable skin as an exercise for the alert reader.
Okay. But you see, what I'm saying is that men are not constructed in such a way to provide the baby with any nourishment once right. they implant
but
the fetus in there.
Who knows what Superman's got inside him? Who knows?
Yeah, but I'm putting Superman. What did you say at the beginning of that article? And I want to tell you, I was listening and to every detail of that.
No, you weren't.
You talked about a parallel development, right?
Huh?
Parallel evolution.
Parallel evolution, okay.
Yeah.
Which means outside of being Kryptonian, he's just like a human being.
Right?
So if you put a Kryptonian baby in there, it's just like you couldn't put a human baby inside of a man.
All I know is I still think it's impossible because I still stand by the theory that when yeah. Superman ejaculates, he kills Lois.
Well, but about artificial insemination.
If she gives him a BJ, it's like she's Nicole Simpson. Her head comes off. If they have actual sex,
right.
You know.
You like saying that just a little too much for me.
It's a little scary.
Just a wee bit. That's the whole point of that article right
no,
there.
No, it's not.
That's just a
no,
little.
No, it's not.
That's a little. I'm getting all hinky now right
oh,
now.
Oh, come on.
It's artificial insemination. That's what he's
right.
going to do. We took Lois out of the equation.
But I enjoyed the topic, not talking about OJ's wife, but the topic of Superman and his sperm actually coming out at such a fantastic rate of speed that it does damage.
It sounds to me like there is no way that Superman can father a child.
I guess not. Hello, Don and Mike show. But you know what? Some guy got a college credit for writing that stupid paper.
Oh, I'm sure. I'd like to meet that guy, too, because he really wanted just Superman to have the baby. You know? That was the whole point of that article.
Yeah.
He wanted Superman to be pregnant.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Well, that is a deadline.
Superman's just with a maternity Superman outfit.
Like
maternity
the cape
and a big, long, flowing gown.
Superman with big boobs. Big lactating. Superman having to pump his breasts.
Superman just walking around. Yes, I'm in my eighth month.
Superman having his period. Or not getting his period.
Right. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, buddy.
First of all, I need to help you out on something. Superman wasn't born with superpowers. He realized that he had superpowers.
He gets them from our sun.
Once he entered the Earth's atmosphere,
yes, he
right?
was powered. He was powered by our atmosphere and by our sun.
Okay.
That's where he gets his power from.
Yes.
Yes.
So
now,
he's solar.
Now,
is he solar?
In a way, he is. Yeah,
I do.
Once he has sex with Lois Lane, I'm sure the Superman is powerful enough to control his own actions.
No. Listen, this is the thing. When you have an orgasm,
it's involuntary.
It's like you're having a spasm.
Right.
It's totally.
Hold on a minute. Just put a piece of krypton to him. When the ejaculate comes out, just put a piece of kryptonite on his penis. It'll come out in a nice slow fashion because, of course, he gets weakened, and then she can absorb his ejaculate normally. But then again, there's a drawback. Seeing as Lois Lane is carrying his child, it's kind of like if the father was an epileptic.
You know, you could say, make Superman a rubber out
right.
of kryptonite,
right.
but that's like the same theory where they wanted Lois to wear the belt that was made out of kryptonite.
Yeah, but I would say
if you put a condom made of kryptonite on Superman's wiener, well, then his wiener would lose. He probably couldn't get a stiffy.
Yeah, but I was going to say, he might not raise to the occasion.
But if it was done in moderation, what you would have is you would not have any ability to really reproduce, but you would have an ability for Superman to at least have a relationship with his close friend Lois Lane.
Right, hello, right. Don and Mike show. Or maybe she could just get a gel.
Yeah, a
like
kryptonite
give him,
gel.
Give him
kryptonite
hand
gel.
Relief with,
yeah.
with kryptonite gel.
I think hand relief, you don't need any kryptonite at all. You could actually, as long as she stays out of the way.
No, but the problem with the hand release is if you do it without kryptonite, I mean, when that baby fires off,
it'd be like holding a gun. You're okay as long as you're not in the way of the bullet.
Wait a minute. Haven't you ever seen a porno?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it goes everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't just come out straight like you're turning on a hose.
Yeah, but it also doesn't come out like a sprinkler.
But you're talking about Superman. How do you know?
That's John true. Superman.
How do you know when Superman has an orgasm? It's not like a firework going off.
Well, the poor guy, I think, really, with all the with everything we've heard today, I think the poor guy just ought to avoid any kind of sexual activity.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great, thank you.
Hey, just real quick, like you said, he's powered by the yellow sun, right?
Yes, he is.
So,
why do you have to say yellow sun? Is that what it is in the comic books? He's powered by the yellow sun?
Our sun, the yellow sun. On Krypton, I think they had a red sun.
Oh, red sun.
I think so.
Okay.
So bring Lois to a planet with a red sun.
What planet would that be? What planet would that be?
Who knows? There's got to be somewhere out there. I'm saying we're talking.
I don't think you're taking that seriously.
Hello,
no.
Don and Mike Show.
Not realistic.
Hello.
Hello.
Have
both of you guys right now, because I know what you're doing. Hello.
He can take his spaceship up to the solar system where Krypton blew up, and he can.
Superman have a spaceship at his disposal?
No, Superman does not have a spaceship. When Superman flies through space, he just flies through space.
All right. Last thing. The last movie where the bad Kryptonians came in, they put him in the booth. Up in the North Pole that took all his powers away?
Yeah?
Put him in the booth, take all his powers away. He has the baby. The baby doesn't have superpowers because Superman didn't have superpowers.
No, they've already said that even if you were to do that, even if you were to give Superman gold kryptonite,
it's completely different. Remember they put him in the booth and he was just Clark Kent?
No, that, I want to congratulate
that
gentleman.
We've already covered that.
On completely ignoring a scholarly work.
We have already covered that even if you got him with gold kryptonite, which permanently takes away his powers, his sperm would still have genetic elements.
Right.
Of Krypton in it.
Yes, and when the baby developed, that's where more problems would arise.
Right.
They cannot reproduce. I think we've established. Have we established that they cannot reproduce?
Right. Superman cannot have a baby.
And but how do you line up on the hand relief issue?
I think it's still too dangerous for Lois.
Oh, poor guy.
I think Superman really would have to go to the moon in J.O., like that guy writes in his article.
Well, at least he's got something.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. It's up a nice J.O. shack up on the moon.
And maybe that's what meteor showers are.
Superman J.O.
You know, maybe when you see a meteor shower at night, maybe that's Superman up there.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, we missed one little crucial factor.
What was that?
Well, if we do get the fetus inside Lois, there's no way the fetus would be powered by the sun, just like Superman. So if the baby's inside Lois, he can't be powered by the sun, so he can't kill
Lois.
Now,
listen up. Well, if you go by that theory, Superman would only have his powers during daytime.
Mm. Right. Solution.
So Superman is some sort of solar collector.
Lois drinks Sunny Delight.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Last call. Hello.
Hey, fellas.
Hi,
here's
buddy.
My theory. You got to build a spaceship that's going to program to send them out of the effects of the yellow sun. They can get it on in space, and then during the 9-month gestation period, it does its turnaround, starts coming back.
Did he lose you with spaceship?
Yes, and listen, there's no way that Superman would leave for 9 months. Too much bad stuff would happen.
Right.
But he might want the kid that bad, if he really wants to get it on with Lois.
Superman has to be around all the time.
I just think obsessing about Superman's sex life is going to really, really screw the equation up, and he's not going to be able to do what he was put on Earth for, which is to fight bad guys, like Lex Luthor.
Right.
Yeah, too much pressure.
Hello.
How about that? I knew a little of that.
Right, sure. Who doesn't know Lex Luthor?
Gene Hackman.
Don my show. Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi. What about Wonder Woman?
You know, I never knew what the deal was with Wonder Woman.
She was the strongest human on the planet. She was Amazon princess.
I still think that Superman would rip her open just like he would rip Lois Lane open.
There was a comic book story where they actually had a kid together.
I think the only girl who Superman could have a kid with would be Supergirl, but then he would have like some weird inbred because Supergirl's his cousin.
Right. Yeah, so it wouldn't work.
Right.
Thank you. Are we all in agreement to the moon and J.O.?
Yes.
So. Yeah.
That is it for Superman.
And hey, if that's what he has to deal with, you know, it's not like he can't do that. You know,
right.
So it's not total celibacy in a way.
Right. Let him go to the moon. We could go to Mars or Venus, or he could go to Uranus.
Hey, but that might be dangerous too.
Yeah. There's a number of places Superman could go to jail.
Let's not bring Jimmy Olsen into this, okay?
Superman,
Perry White.
As a matter of fact, Superman would probably have to enlist Jimmy Olsen, good old J.O., or Perry White, to take care of Lois, because
Lois has needs.
Yes. But Jimmy Olsen, initials J.O. Coincidence?
I don't think so.
And then maybe Superman will just watch.
Oh.
You know,
oh.
Superman will just watch, like, behind a two-way mirror. Like that movie with Clint Eastwood, Absolute
yep.
Power.
But then you got a totally different, you know, who knows if he can control himself doing that.
Well, then he'd have to fly up to the moon at super speed.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy and Lois would be doing the nasty, and all of a sudden you just see this,
and he's gone, and... And you hear this big loud explosion on the moon.
What was that? That's a good article. I think we've covered it.
Man of Steel, Woman of Kleenex.
That's good. I mean, he got an A, right?
Yeah, he sure did.
Of course.
Got an A.
Hey.
From the Catholic University of Northern Texas. You know that school. Clear those lines right now.
All right.
Let's get a caller number 100. Phone number 877-365-3636. Secret sound time right now.
They'll see you in Toledo. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Listen to some of the challenges on tomorrow's Tom Gavin Survivor Show.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll start off very pedestrian. Shake hands with Tom.
Which, you know, in many cases is a challenge. Scary.
Hug Tom. Rub Tom's bare feet with lotion.
Yeah. With lotion?
Yes.
Very good.
Scratch Tom's bare back.
Oh.
Knead Tom's buttocks. Lick Tom's cane handle.
There you go.
Feed Tom's sardines. Kiss Tom's cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss Tom on lips.
Ah, very good. That's a big challenge.
Give Tom a table dance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mop Tom's sweaty brow.
Very good.
With an article of your own clothing.
Ah, wonderful idea.
Slow dancing with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Lick Tom's cane shaft. Tickle Tom's armpit.
Oh, there's a challenge.
Rub Tom's temples.
Mm-hmm.
File Tom's fingernails.
Ah, very good. A manicure.
Sing Tom a love song.
Mm-hmm.
File Tom's toenails.
Oh, God.
Kiss Tom's feet.
These are gradually increasing in degree of difficulty.
And I won't tell you what the last few are.
Okay.
The last few we will keep secret for the final round tomorrow of the Tom Gavin Survival Show.
As the contestants get whittled down.
Voting each other out during the show, and you folks will be able to call in and vote people out, and they're going to have these tribunal games that they have to play, all of them revolving around Tom the Monster.
That's right.
And everything that will be happening to Tom tomorrow will be good. All of these things are good for Tom.
For Tom. All pleasurable for Tom
right.
Gavin.
Rub Tom's feet, rub Tom's back.
Right.
File Tom's toenails.
Fantastic.
Did I tell you, eat Tom's toenails?
No!
That's one of them.
There you go. That's going to be tough.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Who's this, please?
My name's Pam. Are you aware that Tom Gavin is calling into other radio stations and featured on their format
yes,
as well?
Yes, we took care of that yesterday.
Did you? Good.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
That really kind of threw me. And yep. It's not that I'm disloyal to you guys. It's just what are my other choices?
Yeah, we took care of that, addressed that with Tom yesterday.
Okay, sorry, cool. Missed that part.
So unless you heard it today, everything is okay.
No, I think it was, you know, it's all a big blur, but I think I heard it this morning, yesterday morning.
Right.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay,
listen,
bye.
All right, goodbye. Well, I was going to let her play the contest, but she's just a tattletale.
Missed an opportunity right there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Right there.
Hello.
Oh, that's a line that just went dead.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
Great.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great.
I'm the 100th caller.
Okay, thank you. Someone remember.
It's like somebody that's going to a party where they're going to get a present and they don't want to ask for it, right?
You are called 100. What is your name?
I'm Pat from Burke, Virginia.
Mike, it's Pat. And Pat, you want a denim shirt from internets.com. That's internets.com. Create a site today so your group can share documents, calendars, and information. Intranets.com. Get everyone on the same page.
Man, never met a denim shirt I didn't like.
Are you ready to go for $500?
Sure. Let's try it.
Okay, I mean, if we're keeping you from something else.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
All right, my friend. Here we go with Secret Sound number 4. We'll play it for you now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
Robert Goulet.
And we thank you and we wish you...
Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. Brand new sound. Had a winner yesterday. Yesterday's sound was a phone jack being plugged into the wall. That's a brand new sound, right. And it's worth $500.
And the odds are in my favor.
Oh, yes! Yeah. Yes, that's strong, Goulet! Yes! Yes, lick Tom's feet.
For $5, what is that sound?
A wild guess. A video cassette recorder ejecting a cassette.
Oh, we're sorry.
Well, that's another one of the most guessed guesses that we get.
Absolutely. I know it is. That's something I can think of.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. And don't forget that almost every guess is
a clue for you.
Is a clue for you. Almost. Almost every guess a clue for you.
Right. Yes, that way, you know, you try.
Right. Father's Day is this Sunday.
Sunday.
Right. And I know that we've already done all kinds of raps about how, well, let's face it, Father's Day is the lowest of the low of the holidays, of the made-up Hallmark card holidays.
That's right.
We do have a couple of gifts for Father's Day that we're going to give away today.
Today.
Since tomorrow, the whole show is going to be the Tom Gavin Survivor Challenge show.
That's right.
So we have... two great gifts for dads today. First, we have a trip for two to Boston to go to the WWF King of the Ring on June 25th.
Wonderful city.
And we also have a DVD player, which is always a much-asked-for prize, and a DVD copy of a great movie, Being John Malkovich.
All right.
That is from Express.com, formerly DVDExpress.com.
Good.
So we have a couple of ways we can do this. We can either have you guys call in... for the Father's Day talent show, if your dad has a particular talent.
This will be dads who will be performing?
Yes, where the son or the daughter calls in and they say, my dad can do this.
Right.
Then we call the dad and actually see if the dad can actually perform the talent.
And if he performs, he wins.
Yeah. Or we can do, you know, dad's most embarrassing moment, where you tell us what your dad's most embarrassing moment was, and if we call your dad and he says the same thing, then you win. You know, or we could just do a call 100 or guess the whoopee. I was thinking about the dad's most embarrassing moment.
Yeah. I think that'd be wonderful.
That might be the best route to go.
I think that would be, you know, cute, wonderful, fuzzy, terrific.
And if you can come up with a moment and then we call your dad and he says the same most embarrassing moment.
You match the embarrassing moment.
Right. Then your dad will win the trip to Boston. That's the first prize.
Right.
Oh, but the trip to Boston can only be, sorry about this, for listeners in either Washington or Baltimore.
What about the DVD player?
That's from anybody in America.
Okay, good. Well, at least we give all the affiliates a chance to win something.
So you can call us right now at 877-365-3636 and tell us, what is your father's most embarrassing moment?
Yeah, and of course, when you were around, you'd have to be a witness or you know, someone has told you about this.
Right. It could be a famous story that's been passed. And if we call your old man and he tells us what it is right away,
right,
then you're a big winner. Hello, Don and Mike show. What was that?
Now, boys?
What, did someone just fart?
I just had an embarrassing moment in my shorts.
Did you really just fart?
Oh, yeah, play it back. That was a beauty.
Yeah, but I mean, was it real?
Yeah, I guarantee it. I've been holding on. I thought Lisa was going to pick up. I was going to give her the good news, but...
Well, how could you possibly get the phone by your ass that quickly?
You picked up, I heard the... and I stuck it down there.
We've taught them well.
Yeah. Hey, you know, so. I hear them sounds.
That fart was sponsored by the best cigar site on the planet.
Yes, I'm sponsored!
Egars.com.
Hey, all right. Mookie, sure. Baby, love you.
What the hell? Was that it?
Well, what else you want?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there. Who's this?
This is Matt from Williams. I'm listening on KHTK. I just wanted to let you guys hear my big-ass tractor that I'm driving today.
Okay, open the door.
We love the tractors.
All right, here, hold on a second. I'll rev up the engine real big for you, and you can hear it.
Okay.
Real big.
Man.
How was that?
What are you plowing today?
Today I am just land leveling dirt, moving stuff around.
Just leveling dirt.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Moving stuff around.
All right,
hey,
thank you.
I also had one more thing.
Yeah, what?
You know how you were talking before about Superman and Lois Lane?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that you were saying how Lois Lane could never be satisfied, and I kind of thought that was wrong because I imagine that Superman was very, very good orally, if you know what I mean.
No, but again, Superman's tongue, if Superman
yeah, but
really,
it wouldn't be involuntary, so he could pleasure her orally because he would have control over his tongue.
Yeah, exactly,
unlike his,
he would be able
to pleasure her orally.
But what if he loses himself?
Well,
you have to
mean?
Be careful. Yes,
sex is more about up here, mm-hmm. and pointing to my head,
right,
than
right.
down here and pointing to my crotch now.
Yeah, but right. you've never had sex and have your tongue lose control. You've never. The tongue is always in control. You know, it's not like you'd be going,
well, how do you know? And how do you know it just like wouldn't sucker insides out or something?
Oh my god!
But all of a sudden, Superman would be down there doing that, and all of a sudden, like intestines and stuff would come out.
There you go. There you go again.
But you're probably right. Superman probably could, and he could also probably manually.
Yeah,
he could.
Oh, absolutely.
He could diddle her.
Sure. All and everything would be, you know, like everybody else, human. You know, the thing he'd have to worry about would be involuntary.
And he could certainly do her with a vibrator.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Sure.
With a toy.
Sure. Yes.
It's a big super sex toy.
They'd have to just improvise.
Right. Totally. But poor Superman could never have actual intercourse.
No, not at all.
No. Right. And he'd have to go to the moon to the J.O.
Unless he did it with his first cousin. We don't want that to happen.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, don't play the Father's Day game.
Okay, good. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris, where are you from?
I'm from Glen Burnie.
Chris, what is your father's most embarrassing moment ever?
It's going to be a tough one. There's two I can choose from, but I think it's going to be the come back from vacation one year, and he tends to have a stuttering problem, and he asked the waitress if he could have a free refill, and the waitress just busted out laughing right in his face.
Sorry, not thinking of. Thank you, though.
My friend. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Dean.
Hello, Dean. Where are you from?
I'm from Frederick.
All right, Dean. What is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
My dad's most embarrassing moment would have had to have been, it's actually the company I'm working for. The guy that owns the company owned a bar that didn't have a toilet seat. My father picked up, he's a construction worker, he picked up a toilet seat from work and took it in, and when they went to install it, it was actually covered with crap. So that would have to be his most embarrassing moment.
I don't get that.
When he took the toilet seat off, he demoed it, it had crap on it already, but he didn't check it.
So he bought a used toilet seat?
No, he does construction. He demoed the toilet seat himself.
What do you mean demoed? What the hell does that mean?
He removed it from a job site.
Sorry, hello. Not embarrassing enough.
Although demo, when you demo something, don't you demo like a car? When
yeah,
it's like,
right.
Hey, that's a nice toilet seat. If you don't mind, I'm going to sit on it right here in the lobby.
I could take a dump. Let me see how it works.
Hey, that's terrific.
Hello, Don. Mike Show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi, buddy.
How's it going?
Great, thanks. Who is this?
This is Jim in Reno.
Yes, Jim, what is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
Well, at Halloween about 10 years ago, my mom and myself placed a plastic bat in their closet. My dad's very afraid of animals, any type. Anyway, he went in, we got him into the closet, and this is probably my mom's most embarrassing moment too, but he started screaming, running through the house, crapped his pants, my mom peed her pants. I think I had a heart attack, but the funniest part was when he went out to the shed to get a shovel and came in to try to kill it and put the holes in the walls in the closet.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We all in agreement. We don't believe as soon as the heart attack, crap the pants, pee the pants.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike.
There was just excrement all over the house.
Hello, Don and Mike.
And in the
Hi,
story.
Don and Mike.
Hi, who's this?
Phil.
What's your dad's most embarrassing moment?
In fact, he even handed it to me one time. He gave me a newspaper with him in it, and he was a wrestler in high school, and he fell from the... He got to the top of the rope, and he fell, and they took his picture, and they put it in the newspaper.
No. Yeah, it's nice and homespun, but not
like
really.
Rope climbing?
Yeah, he was a wrestler, and he won the competition, but he let go of the top of the rope.
Was it wrestling on a rope?
No, it was one of the parts of the competition.
I've never heard of wrestlers climbing ropes.
They do it as an exercise thing. But
but he was in a big competition doing it, and he fell.
Seems to me like all these calls we've had thus far, the dad's most embarrassing moment might be when they realized
they were going to be fathers.
Yeah, when their sons were born. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don. Hi.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Kent from Fairfax.
Kent, what is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
I think it goes back about 20 years when he was dating my mother, and he'd been out drinking with the boys all night, came home, knocked on the door to surprise her. She slammed the door open, thought it was an intruder, and he was standing there buck naked. She threw him off the porch into the yard, buck naked.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
We're certainly moving in the right direction.
Yeah, sorry. Not safe enough, though. We're looking for that one special one. Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Chris.
Chris, where are you from?
Glen Burnie.
What is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
He showed up to Christmas Eve mass in my mom's clothes.
Oh, wow. Oh, come on.
No, honestly, it wasn't a dress. It was a pair of her slacks and a sweater. But it was my mom's clothes.
And why would he have shown up to mass on Christmas Eve? Would that be midnight mass?
Yes, it would.
Why did he show up to midnight mass in your mom's clothes?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't realize that it was just my mom's clothes. They share a closet. And he got it out and showed up my mom's clothes.
Oh, my God.
You know, that's,
I believe that.
Yeah, so do I. I'm going to leave you on hold.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe we'll call your daddy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Who's this? Hello?
David.
Hi, who's this?
A little phone problem there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Great, thanks. Who's this?
This is Jimmy.
Jimmy, what's your dad's most embarrassing moment?
We live in Wichita. Where he lives right outside of town, about 15 miles. It's about 250, 300 population town. And he was working the roads because all the roads are dirt in a road grader backhoe thing. And he knocked over the electrical pole and knocked electricity out of the whole town for the whole day.
That's a good one, but, you know, not like showing up to church in your mom's clothes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Of course, now the dad would have to say that when we called him.
Yeah, he'd have to back it up and say, you know, we have your most embarrassing. Is it true that, you know, and then once the dad confirms it.
The dad has to say, what's your most embarrassing moment?
Yeah.
Well, it would be the time that I wore mom's clothes to church.
Yeah, it's the match, kind of like the match game.
Yeah, hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don.
Yes, who's this?
My name is Luke.
Luke, what is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
When we were growing up, he tried his hand at farming, and some of the chickens were producing and some weren't producing eggs. So he called a friend of his to see how you check to see what chickens do and don't produce eggs. You take two fingers, you lay them up against the orifice where the egg comes out, and if your fingers fit between two bones laying against the chicken's bottom, then they can lay eggs. If not, then they don't.
Okay.
Well, he went out to check the chickens, and came back to report to his friend he could get two fingers in every chicken.
Oh. So he put his finger in the chicken's ass.
So, inside.
So some of our friends found out about it and would dress up rubber chickens in 90s and bring them to parties.
It's pretty good. So your dad put his finger in a chicken's butt.
Two fingers in a chicken's butt.
What's your most embarrassed moment? It's the time I put my fingers in the chicken's butt.
All right, I'm going to leave that guy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right.
You know, all the detail about the eggs and that unnecessary, but, you know, the fact that he's out in the yard putting
his fingers in a chicken's butt.
Right, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this?
This is Donna.
Hi, Donna. Where are you from?
Bakersfield.
Thank you for listening on KGEO. Donna, what is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
Well, when he was in the Navy back in the 50s, apparently he got really drunk one night and proceeded to have sex with the hole in the tree.
All right, now that's a winner right there.
The old knot hole.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Man. Your dad had sex with a tree, and he would say that if we called him?
Well, I would hope he would.
All right, hold on. I'll leave you on hold.
Okay.
Hold on.
That'd be the old knot hole story.
Hello, John and Mike Show.
Why they call it wood.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jeannie.
Yes, Jeannie. Hi there.
I have a remark about your Superman question earlier. Say, now, why couldn't, say, they have sent another spaceship with a little girl baby? It landed.
Okay, come on, please.
Thanks, Jeannie, and thanks for keeping up with the show.
We're done with that, Jeannie. That was not a great, great oration we just heard.
Great call, Jeannie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I love when you just throw your Larry Hagman in. Ah, Jeannie.
Ah, Jeannie.
Hello.
Come on, Jeannie. We're doing embarrassing moments, Jeannie.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Well, I'm trying.
I know you are.
Trying desperately.
I know you are.
Call everyone.
Hello, Don and my show.
Hi, I have an embarrassing moment. My father.
What's your name?
My name's Brandy.
Okay.
When I was, I guess, about 5 or 6 years old, we were at our friend's house across the street from where we lived, and my dad had had a few drinks. And he had picked me up from behind him and was going to flip me up over top of his shoulders. Well, when I got up to his shoulders, he dropped me and my face hit the floor.
Uh-oh.
Ouch.
Oh, man. I had a moment like that with my nephew one time where I was lifting my nephew up. And, you know, that move, you know, all dads know that. It's the move where you're going to put your kid on the shoulders,
right?
Yes,
and you have to kind of boost the kid up, you know, give a little extra height there and go almost like kind of support the kid up. And I did this, and I was right under, in a ski lodge, I was right under a rafter. And I did this to my nephew, and you heard it. It sounded like a cannon shot. And at that moment, their whole family was coming up over, you know, the stairs looking down at me. And my nephew was a trooper about it. I mean, he didn't cry or anything, but I tell you, I felt horrible.
So when I did. I busted my nose and...
You broke your nose.
I didn't break it, but it was bleeding and pretty bruised, and I had some black eyes, and it was a mess.
Not sick enough. Thank you, though, honey.
Uh-huh.
And I would have bet that the dad wouldn't match that one. I don't remember that.
Hello, Don and Mike show, right? Although that's always a good start in these stories. When my dad was drinking.
Yes,
right.
When my dad was drinking.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, what is your dad's most embarrassing moment?
He was a cop.
Okay.
He's retired now, but he was answering a break and entering call. They suspected that the criminal was in the back of the building. They went around. He had his revolver pulled. The generator went off, or came on. He put about 3 or 4 rounds into it.
He shot the generator.
The generator.
It's a good embarrassing story for a cop.
Yeah, that's not bad, but you know what? I would think that that's instinctive. I mean,
right. You hear like a noise and
you hear
bam,
something
bam, bam.
And boom, boom, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
Sorry. You know what? I think going into the break here, we'll go with the first choice would be...
Chicken Man?
Well... I might actually go with the guy who wore the mom's clothing on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's just got a certain charm to it, I agree. And then you got Knothole, and then you've got the...
Yeah, that's the order.
And
it'll be the guy who went to Christmas Eve Mass wearing mom's clothes.
He went into a dark closet and just changed quickly.
Then the dad who had sex with the tree.
Right.
And then the dad who put 2 fingers in the chicken's butt.
The chicken story. Very good. We got 3 of them.
And if you got any better ones, you can call. We'll start calling the dads right after.
Two of God's little brown gems, Don and Mike.
We might have a couple of last-minute entrants.
Very good.
Let's see. Here's Chris.
Yes. Yes.
Chris, what's your dad's most embarrassing moment?
This is about 7 years ago on 4th of July. I had to go wake him up to go to a golf tournament. And at the time, he was living with my grandmother. And so I go in to wake him up, and his room just reeks, and it smells like crap. So I kind of peek my head in, and there's crap all over his sheets everywhere.
Oh, my.
So he gets up, and he goes up to take a shower, and I pointed out to my grandma that there's some on the back of his leg. And she starts laughing, and she goes, "You think that's bad? Go out and look out the back porch." Well, he'd mistaken the back porch door for the bathroom door. He was drunk.
Oh, my God.
And he crapped over the rail off the back porch right next to the neighbor's house. I don't know if they've seen him or not.
Wow.
So he goes up, and he takes a shower, and then we go to the golf course, and this is on the 17th hole. I happen to look at the back of his leg, and I start laughing because there's still some crap on the back of his leg.
Oh. All right, hold on. I'm going to keep you in the contest.
Wow. Okay.
Hold on a second. We might call him.
Mm, he was
Hello,
drinking.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Is this another guy named Chris?
Yes, it is.
Well, what's your dad's most embarrassing moment?
My mom works at a hospital here in Woodbridge, and my dad was at work one day and decided to prank call her. Well, he calls, and a woman answers the phone. It sounds like my mom. And he says to the woman, "Well, I've got a hellacious heart on, and I don't know what to do about it." And he makes a real funny voice. He goes on for 5 minutes about how much it hurts, and you know how he got it, that he's an 80-year-old man. And the woman, he finally realizes that the woman's voice isn't my mom. So he says, "Susan?" And the woman says, "No, this is Patty." And he said, "Oh, my God," and he hung up.
That's pretty good.
All right, hold on.
That's
hold
not
on.
Bad.
You know what? I think we'll still go with the first story about the guy who wore his mom's, the dad who wore the mom's clothes to Christmas Eve mass.
There's something about that that's very funny.
Although, that new one about the dad that crapped himself.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine he's going to match his kid.
That's a new contender.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go with, because we got this one first. This is another guy named Chris.
Yeah, hello.
Now, Chris, you're the guy whose dad wore the mom's clothes to Christmas Eve mass?
Yes.
Okay, and what's your dad's name?
John.
John. Chris and John. Yes. Gotcha. Hold on, please.
All right, we're going to call Dad right now, and if Dad matches Chris with the most embarrassing story, Dad will win, well, his choice, right? The first guy gets a choice of the DVD player or the trip to Boston.
The person you are calling does not wish to talk with callers who blocked their number.
No, this guy has to take the trip to Boston.
Trip to Boston, okay. Hopefully Dad will enjoy going to Boston.
Because the guy, the son's calling us from the D.C. area.
Very good.
And then the other dad, whoever the second place is, will get the DVD.
Okay. Excellent.
Let's hope the dad's there. If not, then we have to, we might have to go with the dad who crapped himself.
Yeah, I would say so.
Before the dad who had sex with the tree.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this John?
Yes, it is.
John, hi. This is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We have your son, Chris, on the phone with us right now.
Hi, Dad.
Chris?
Hello?
Yeah?
John, do you mind going on the air with us? We have your son with us.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Listen, happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
You know, this Sunday is Father's Day, and we are asking some of our listeners to call us and tell us what their dad's most embarrassing moment was.
For a prize. For a wonderful prize.
And your son, Chris, came up with what he thought was your most embarrassing moment and called us, and we want to ask you now what your most embarrassing moment is, because if it matches, then you're going to win a fabulous prize.
Oh, geez.
What's the most embarrassing moment in your whole life?
Oh, I don't know. I have so many.
This is one that Chris had.
One that he remembered and called us up with.
Told it with a great deal of joy.
Oh, geez.
Feel no pressure about the time.
I know there are many of them, John, but you know, just think what your son Chris would say.
Oh.
Take your time, John.
Well, Chris and my other boys, when we went to church one time, I accidentally wore my wife's blouse. I got grabbed it by mistake.
Bingo! That's a winner!
Bingo! Yeah. We have a winner!
That is a winner!
Way to go, John. I like that.
That is a winner. Christ, it took you a long time to get that out.
But that seems to be the mother of all embarrassing moments in your family, John.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
What was the blouse like, John?
I don't know. I just got up. You went to church. I just got up and I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was my shirt. I just grabbed it on mistake.
And Chris, didn't you say that your dad also wore your mom's pants?
Yeah, a pair of her trousers.
Wow. Was it a really female looking blouse when you got it into church?
Not really.
No, just
satin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girly.
Yeah. Okay. Girly. That's embarrassing.
Yes, it was.
And Chris, now do you want this trip or do you want your dad to have this trip?
Well, is it for two people or just one?
No, it's a trip for two.
Well, I can take him with me.
All right, beautiful.
If you drive out here, meet me.
All right, Chris and and Dad John, you guys will both be going to Boston for WWF King of the Ring on June 25th, courtesy of Comcast and Cox Cable Systems. Call your local Comcast or Cox System now to order WWF King of the Ring Sunday, June 25th.
Congratulations. Great. You guys are both going to Boston.
Okay, well, thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Hold on, John. Happy Father's Day.
All right.
Hold on, please.
All right.
Hold on.
He's a fireball, isn't he?
He is indeed. Yes. Wonderful.
All right. I might want to go with the dad that crapped himself.
I think that might be a good idea.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah.
You're the Chris whose dad crapped himself?
That'd be me.
What's your dad's first name?
Joel. J-O-E-L.
Chris and Joel. Oh, got it.
All right. We're going to call Joel now. Now, if he matches Chris... Well, and I think, really, Dad should get the DVD player in this circumstance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's Father's Day, after all.
Right. Dad crapped not only himself, but all over the back porch.
And it lingered right through the golf tournament.
Crap on his leg. You know, that might have been better than the other one, now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, at least we're calling.
I don't know. It's funny that the dad wore the mom's
hello?
Clothes. Yes, hello, is Joel there?
No, he isn't. Who's calling?
This is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us? We have your son, Chris, on the line with us. Chris?
I can't understand you. Repeat that.
Hey, Chris?
Chris?
Grandson.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now. Do you mind going on with us? We have your son.
Grandson.
Your grandson.
Your grandson?
Chris. Oh, hold on. I got the wrong guy. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on a second. Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Do you know who this lady is?
That's my grandmother.
Oh, that's your grandma.
Yeah.
Well, would you say hi to her?
Sure. Hey.
Yeah.
Easter. Are you there?
Chris?
Yeah.
What's this all about?
I'm on a radio show right now, and they were calling in with Dad's most embarrassing moment.
Would your grandma know what it is?
Quite possibly.
All right, we'll play with her.
You mind going on the air with us, Grandma?
Well, if I know what this consists of.
Okay, we're doing a radio contest now for Father's Day to find out Dad's most embarrassing moments. And your grandson...
I ain't touching that.
All right.
Oh, come on.
I ain't touching that.
Come on.
Is your dad around, Chris, or not?
I guess he's not home.
No, he's not home.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And she hangs up.
Are you still there? They're both gone. That's a problem calling old people, man.
Yeah.
What? Felt like we were talking to Olivia Spellman.
What's it consist of? Well, it consists of food.
Your son, Chris's father, crapping his pants.
Hello. I think she knew what it was, too.
Hello, Donna?
Yes.
Right, here's the girl whose dad had sex with the tree.
Yes, I am.
All right.
And your dad's name is Leonard?
Leonard.
Beautiful. Hold on. Let me call him.
Call Leonard. DVD player on the line. This woman or her dad. Depends on how generous she is. After he matches her story.
Jesus. That old lady.
I can see you, but I can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is Leonard there, please?
Yes, he is. Just a moment.
This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the air right now with your daughter, Donna.
My daughter, Donna. All right. Just a minute. Let me get him to the phone.
Very beautiful. Here we go. There
Leonard, part six.
Hello? What's he doing? Hey, Donna, are you online?
Yes, I'm here.
Beautiful.
I'm just waiting for your dad, Donna.
Everybody's parents are old, man.
Yeah.
Takes them a while to get to the phone.
Sure, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. And for those who serve, you said he was in the service, right?
Yes.
One of our proud veterans.
Thank you for your service to our country.
It's an honor and a privilege.
We salute you.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Liddy.
Thanks so much.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is this Leonard?
Yes, sir.
Leonard, hi. This is the Don and Mike radio show. Do you mind going on the air with us? Because we have your daughter, Donna, on the phone with us right now.
What's going on?
Hey, you mind going on the air with us? We got Donna. She'll explain it to you.
Well, I won't have to say my name or anything, will I?
No, not beyond Leonard.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay.
Donna, say hi.
I know what's going on.
Hi, Dad.
Donna, tell your dad what's going on here and without, you know, giving anything away.
Okay, well, we're playing a game.
Okay.
And what it is your dad's most embarrassing moment. So they want you to tell what your most embarrassing moment is.
See, we asked your daughter for Father's Day what's the most embarrassing thing that her dad ever did.
We've got a fabulous prize on the line. If you match her, her embarrassing moment here.
Well,
the one that she thought, you know, not her embarrassing moment, your embarrassing moment.
That's right. If you match what she told us, you know, she or you will win this fabulous prize.
Yeah.
Depending on how generous she is.
Well, I know. My wife has told this story before, so the only thing I can do is, I mean, everybody laughs when she tells it.
Uh-huh.
When I was in the service, a bunch of us sailors went up to Yosemite.
All right, let him tell it.
What's going on there?
No, go ahead.
Okay. We all went up to Yosemite. Okay, we all got drunk and drunk and drunk and drunk. I used to drink in those days, but not anymore. But anyway, I found out. Somebody looked at a tree and said something like, well, there's a big board over there. And I thought they said something like, there's a big broad over there. So I just kind of went over there and played around. I don't remember. That's what I was told.
That's a winner.
You mentioned a winner.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
that's a winner.
You told us you had sex with a tree.
Well, not quite, but that was close enough.
That's great. I love it.
That's beautiful. Now, Donna, do you want this gift or do you want to give it to your dad?
Well, it's a DVD player, and they just bought one, so I'm going to take it, but I'm going to get him a really nice Father's Day gift.
Okay.
Look at that. Old Leonard had sex with a tree, and he gets nothing.
He gets nothing. You better get him a really nice present, Donna.
Well, now, wait a minute. She's getting a new DVD player?
Yes, she has won a DVD player and a copy of Being John Malkovich, courtesy of Express.com. DVD.
Okay, what was the DVD?
Being John
Player. You guys already have one.
Well, I know, but what was that came with it, though?
A DVD copy of Being John Malkovich.
It's a movie, Dad.
Oh, well, I get that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll give you the movie.
Yes. DVDExpress.com is now...
That's okay. You can give it to her. We'll watch it.
Wait
a minute. Now, I want her to understand that if she's taking this, I get... I'm supposed to get some cash for Father's Day.
All right, he wants cash, Donna. Do you think
all
he can
right,
do that?
I want more than
cash.
$5 or $10 if she gets a DVD.
I got to read a commercial here. DVDExpress.com is now Express.com, the best place on the web to find cool video games, hot music, and the biggest selection of DVDs on the internet. There you go.
All right, well, congratulations, Donna. You're the big winner. And Leonard,
what's the manufacturer of that DVD?
I don't know.
Somebody Japanese.
Okay.
Hold on. Leonard, I got something for you.
Okay, thank you.
For you, Leonard?
Uh-huh.
You've won the John Wayne Video Collection.
All right.
Oh, have I? Really?
Yeah.
Is it the DVD?
No, it's video.
Oh, I don't... I got the video in the bedroom, and it's old.
You can have my VCR.
Yeah, John Wayne is old.
I think he wants the videos, though.
I'll take whatever I can get.
All right, Leonard, you won the John Wayne Video Collection.
Okay.
The John Wayne Video Collection makes the perfect Father's Day gift, now on sale at video stores everywhere.
Congratulations, guys.
Okay,
thank you both. Thanks, Donna and Mike. Love you guys.
No, love you. Thank you, Donna. Hold on. Thank you, Leonard.
And he hung up, I think.
Oh, yeah, of course he did.
He went into turbo dad mode at that point. You know, wait, hold on a second. Wait a minute.
What's that? What was the DVD?
I want cash. Yosemite. You know, I swear to God, when the first words out of his
Yosemite.
A bunch of us went up to Yosemite.
We knew we had a big winner right there.
Absolutely.
All right, they were both great. Too bad the guy who crapped all over the place wasn't at home.
Yeah, Grandma knew what we were talking about.
We'll give him a prize, though, to stand by. We'll be right back.
Remember their secret. F like a whore, but look like the girl next door. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. We just heard about a big, big show tomorrow. All right. 16 people, two teams of eight, tribunal council meetings, and we end up with just one survivor.
With a mountain of challenges.
Yes. Tom Gavin, the monster, will be in a room with 16 listeners tomorrow. Only one will emerge victorious and get a free trip to Los Angeles. That's on tomorrow's episode. Also tomorrow, we'll have a brand new episode of our continuing radio soap opera, As the World Ahearns.
Rapidly becoming a very favorite program on the show.
And in a return visit from Animal House, that guy Flounder, Stephen First, will be back on the show tomorrow.
We had a great time when he was here the last time.
Yeah, he's a good guest. So because we have all of that stuff tomorrow, we're going to do something on Thursday that we normally do on Friday. Here we go.
It's game time now on Day of Day with cash for you and me. Put on and Mike to play.
Budget Jeopardy.
Hello. Hello, Donald.
Hey, Doc.
Buzz.
Hello.
Good to see all of you. How are you? I'm Dr. Evil.
I know who you are, Doc.
Of course you do. I have a very distinctive gray suit. I have a scar over my left eye. And I'm here to say to each and every one of you that it's time to party.
You are a crazy bastard.
Who is he?
Oh, that's the beautiful Diane Sawyer from Good Morning America.
Well, how are you?
Hi, crazy bastard.
20.
Thank you very much.
Bunch of profile man.
We're very proud of it. We'd be happy to have you on the show.
I like your blouse.
Thank you.
Don't go to church in it.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah, newsman.
That's right.
Rockport.
Yes, they're very comfortable.
I'd like some too. I got big feet and they're smelly.
Crazy bastard.
Die.
We are going to play low budget Jeopardy right now.
Let's play. I love games. I like playing pin the tail on the donkey. Hey, you want me to read this?
Can you read?
No.
Dr. Evil, would you help him out, please?
Of course. Get away from me.
You get away from me.
Get away from me. Here I am. This is Low Budget Jeopardy, and now entering the studio is a manager from Woodland, California. His name is Greg Baker.
Hello, Greg.
Don and Mike, my brothers from different mothers.
And now entering the studio is challenger number two. Well, it says here that she is a welder.
It's entirely possible, Doc. Oh.
From College Park, let's say hi to Beth Eustace.
Beth, are you really a welder?
Yeah, I work with my dad. We build security doors for the State Department.
Yeah, a welder? Ask her if she's a lesbian.
No.
I bet you are. I am.
You're a lesbian?
I'm not a lesbian. I'm a pretty lipstick lesbian. That's why I'm so pretty.
Greg and Beth, here are your categories. Don't forget, answer in the form of a question. I live with my mom. I'm wearing a clip-on tie suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex, unless we're playing the game. Then it's always LQ, your Lord Questmaster. Call him Crazy Bastard.
Aye!
And call him Dr. Evil.
Hello, I'm standing by if I'm needed, but I'm still a little woozy.
Here are your categories, and they are American Film Institute Top 100 Comedies of All Time.
I'm a pretty movie star, I am. I really am.
Charlie's Top Movie Stars from his all-time favorite comedies.
I love pretty lingerie.
Regis.
Oh, talking about crazy.
All about dogs.
I love dogs. That's because I am one. I can lick my own beanbag.
And states and capitals.
They got my territory. I'll go around the studio marking my territory.
So here's your categories, guys. They are AFI Top 100 Comedies of All Time.
Aye.
Charlie's Top Movie Stars of All Time.
Ew.
Regis.
Regis.
All About Dogs.
Oh, I got a papa zit on my back.
And states and capitals.
That's right. Ooh, it's smelly.
Beth, you are the challenger. So are you, Greg, but you know what? We like girls better than boys. Beth, we'll start with you.
Good luck to you, welder lady. I hope you kick ass and take names.
I'd like states and capitals for $3.
Gotta start with one, honey.
Okay, $1.
Don't piss me off again.
And where was my thank you? I thought I did a thank you. I said I hope you win, and you didn't even say thank you. Hey, Beth, I want a thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is the capital of the great state of Arkansas.
What is Little Rock?
That's right.
Aye, $1 for you, my pretty little lad. Select again, please.
I'll take states and capitals for $2.
That's how you do it. Capital of Indiana.
Greggy, it's your chance to steal it.
Indiana. Let's go Indianapolis.
Sorry, too
what
late,
about
Greg.
Indianapolis?
Yeah, too much hammering and hawing. You got to get right to it. And hey, Indiana, home of that great leader, Dan Quayle.
Indianapolis, you are a crazy bastard.
Aye. All right, Bethy, it's time to pick another one.
Let's try states and capitals again for $3.
There you go. It is the capital of the great state of Alaska.
What is Juneau?
Juneau is righto.
$3 for you, Bethy. That's a lot of welding you've been doing, huh? Do you get sweaty?
A lot.
Aye. Okay, move to another category.
Okay, I'd like All About Dogs for $1.
All right, now these are questions about dogs.
Oh.
From the Dog Lover Encyclopedia.
I love dog lovers because I am one. I'm a doggy. I'm a little doggy. I'm a little Bichon Frise.
This breed was rated the smartest dog in the world.
What is a Labrador?
No.
Hey, Greggy, it's your chance to steal it.
What is a poodle?
No.
No, it's a border collie.
A collie.
A border collie.
Aye. Okay, Beth, select again, please.
How about Regis, Regis, Regis for $1?
No, now listen, next time I'm going to have to penalize you.
You have to stay in the same category.
Dr. Evil, tell her the rules.
Let me explain to you, young Beth. Are you listening?
Okay.
It will be necessary for you to stay in the same categories throughout the game. If you jump from another category to another one, you will be docked a dollar or more by Lord Quizmaster. Have I made myself clear?
Yes, Dr. Evil.
I am back to me. Okay. Go again, young Beppe.
Well, then, should we go back to states and capitals for $4 then?
Take a dollar away from her. You have been
it's
not.
It's only $3. I'm sorry.
You're not down to $3. Perhaps that welding torch is getting into your brainy. All right.
Okay.
Select again, please.
I would like All About Dogs for $2.
There you go.
Aye.
This breed was rated the dumbest dog in the world.
What is a poodle?
No.
No. All right, Greggy.
What kind of question? What is...
Oh, dummy. Wow.
Basset Hound.
Aye.
A Basset Hound. My Basset Hound, incidentally, is named Greg.
Hey, Bethy, select again. See if you can figure that out.
Like All About Dogs for $3.
Aye. Go. Good girl.
This breed is the most popular dog in America. There are over 130,000 of these dogs registered.
What is a Labrador?
No.
Greggy.
What is a Golden Retriever?
No. A Rottweiler.
A Rottweiler.
That's the most popular breed of dog in America.
Scary. Real nasty, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, I don't believe that. The most ones on the Rottweilers.
Yes.
Scary. Okay, Bethy, it's your chance again. Go ahead, select a category.
I would like Regis, Regis, Regis for $1.
He is the producer.
Oh, he's a fairy.
He is the producer of Live with Regis and Kathy Lee. And rumored to be Regis's lover.
Aye.
Who is... I'm sorry.
Hey, Greg, you don't got no money. Here's your chance.
Rumored to be with Kathy Lee?
Aye, aye, aye.
Repeat the question.
You can't take anything away because he doesn't have any money.
Michael Gelman.
And now, Bethy, you're in control again.
I'd like Regis, Regis, Regis for $2.
The regularly scheduled nights of the week that the Millionaire Show airs.
What is Wednesday?
No.
Your clue would be when it said regularly scheduled nights of the week Millionaire airs.
Hey, Greg, it's your chance to steal.
What is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday?
No, Greggy.
No, it's Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
Okay, Beth, you're in control. You got a real tough opponent.
Regis, Regis, Regis for $3.
Back in the 1960s, Regis was this guy's Ed McMahon.
I don't know.
Hey, Greg, your chance to steal.
Regis, what is... Donahue.
Nice effort as usual.
Joey Bishop.
Donahue.
What kind of categories you got here?
Yeah, playing the categories.
Well, what kind of contestants we got here?
Unbelievable.
Christ, excuse me for not making it. What is 2 + 2?
All right. I tell you, what are you a manager of? Your bedroom. Okay, Bethy, you're in control.
I'd like American Film Association's #1 comedies.
Okay, the top 100 comedies of all time. This was all over the news yesterday.
Right.
Let me just preface this by saying that.
I love the news.
This cross-dressing movie was voted the funniest comedy of all time.
What is Some Like It Hot?
Hey. There you go, Beth.
There you go, Beth. Coming on strong. Okay, $1 for ye.
Okay, I'd like the American Film 100 comedies again.
This cross-dressing movie was voted the #2 funniest movie of all time.
What is Tootsie?
Great movie. Tootsie. Okay.
You're crazy. I've never seen either of them.
Aye. Go again, Beth.
I'd like the American Film 100 comedies for $3.
This cross-dressing movie was voted the 68th funniest movie of all time.
What is To Wong Fu with Love?
You know what?
Hot tricks.
Where's it?
You know that dollar I took away from her?
Aye.
Give it back, because she came up with a good answer.
Okay. That's $7 for your total now. And Greggy, it's your chance to steal.
What is I can't tell you?
Right. Yeah. Good job again, Greggy.
That's what your mom said when you said, "Who's my dad?"
Oh, who's your daddy?
I can't tell you.
I'm a pretty girl, and I'm crazy, and I'm Jesus Christ.
That was Mrs. Doubtfire, incidentally.
Hey, Bethy, you're in control. You're in control. Super shock, super shock. Hi, go again, select another category.
I'd like Charlie's Top Movie Stars for $1.
All right, now, this is just like the AFI list, except, of course, it's Charlie. You know, Charlie's two-way stabber.
Oh, he's a genius.
These are Charlie's favorite movie stars from Charlie's favorite comedies. For one, he is the star of the comedy movie In the Army Now. You're in the Army Now.
I don't know.
Okay, Greggy, your chance to steal.
My God, I don't know. Who is Tom Green?
Good effort again, Greggy.
Okay.
All right, Bethy.
Pauly Shore. And she can laugh at you. How much money does she have, crazy bastard?
$7. And meanwhile, Greggy, and call me crazy. Bethy.
Can I call you fat?
Yeah, you called me fat. That's
well, you
brother.
Look just like him. I'm sorry.
And my brother, dumb and silly. And Greg's got zero. Zero. He doesn't have nothing. He doesn't have any. Don't talk when I'm talking, Greggy.
Beth, go again, please.
I'd like Charlie's Top Movie Stars for $2.
He is the star of the hit comedy Chairman of the Board.
Who is Carrot Top?
That's right.
$2 for Bethy. It might be a shutout. Go again, young lassie.
I'd like Charlie's Top Movie Stars for $3.
She is the star, and incidentally, this is Charlie's favorite movie of all time. She is the star of Baby Geniuses.
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, Greggy, this is your last chance to get some money.
Who is Kirstie Alley?
Oh, that's Lucky's talking, you big dummy.
Although Charlie likes that one, too.
He loves them all if they've got babies in them.
That would be Kathleen Turner from Baby Geniuses.
And that's the end of the first round of low-budget Jeopardy.
Right now, Beth, you did well enough to advance the final low-budget Jeopardy. And, Greg, you will just sit in the corner.
You think there's a chance I could talk now?
Yeah, Dr. Evil, please step up. Step up to the microphone.
I was becoming sleepy over there. Now I'm very glad to have the microphone again and to say, what's wrong with your screening process?
You mean because Greg is such a dope?
Yes, I believe you should implement more quality control.
We are trying. Listen, Beth will be playing with herself.
Oh, very intriguing.
When we come back for Final Low Budget Jeopardy right after this.
From the creators of Marty in the Middle, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. Garth Brooks.
You know, more music news now.
Is this something that has gotten worse as the show's going on today?
It's gotten worse through the day. I was fine when I woke up this morning. I was fine when I talked to you today.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Buzzy before the show today. And saw him when I came in,
Uh-huh.
Beginning part of the show when we did As the World Ahern.
Right.
Your voice, your nasal.
Yeah, that's right. That sounded perfect.
Passages were perfect.
Uh-huh. And it's just gotten worse ever since.
I don't know now.
You're allergic to something. Did you brush up against something tonight?
I don't know. Perhaps I did.
Motion in your eye?
What did you eat? What did you eat?
No. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Just McDonald's food, right?
No McDonald's food today. I never go
he's
there,
just
you know.
Working you, Buzz.
I never go there.
Just working you.
Garth Brooks' Chris Gaines idea didn't just flop. It cost a record executive his job, according to the New York Post. The Page Six column says the president of Capitol Records Nashville is being demoted to senior vice president of marketing.
Good.
A source tells the paper, Garth hired all these people to produce an album that would eventually tie into a movie. The movie was supposed to be released this spring, but now it's indefinitely postponed. The source says the record company put $20 million into the project at the expense of other artists' projects. Brooks has reportedly apologized to those other artists.
Garth Brooks. to Garth.
And
of
course,
okay.
In Star Wars, it would be, wouldn't it then be Garth Vader?
Yeah.
I mean, if all of
and
your...
Garth Ball.
If all of your G's are D's, right. Then all of your D's would be D's.
I guess so.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mick Jagger's 14-year-old son James has been reprimanded after getting caught smoking a cigarette at his private school in England.
My Uncle Keith gave it to him. I'm sorry, Mick. I gave your son a cig. I gave your son a fag.
Hello, Dad. Uncle Keith said, hey, boy, how'd you like your fag?
Have a nice fag, and if they're out of school, pick up the guitar and then play it.
The London Mirror says James will now have to write a paper on the evils of smoking.
Evils of smoking. I've been smoking for 52 years.
Hasn't affected you at all.
Here's what I've written, Uncle Keith.
All right. Play me a song.
Rats on the east side. Bedbugs uptown. Look at me. I'm in tatters. I've been shattered. Oh, yeah.
That's very good. I think it's going to be a hit. I'm all for it. I hope it gets published. Go ahead, knock yourself off. Sounds regularly familiar to me, but I don't remember. I don't remember any of our tours. None of our tours.
Of course.
Steel wheels or any of them.
Who will play the naked seductress now that Kathleen Turner is leaving the stage version of The Graduate? Well, the answer is Mick Jagger's ex-wife and leggy former supermodel, Jerry Hall.
She's my mom.
Ah, she's a very beautiful piece of ass.
She's a piece of ass.
She is indeed, Mick. You're doing great with her. You're not married to her anymore.
I'm the son.
Oh, you're the son. Oh, I'm sorry, Mick.
I said she's my mom.
You look just like your daddy.
Thank you.
Have a cigarette.
The Daily News says Hall will take over the role, which requires nudity on stage.
Ah, there you go.
She says Mick was amazed when she told him. Quoting her, his mouth fell open and he was very shocked. He drew in a deep breath and was like, you're going to take your clothes off? Wow. The play, currently in London, is expected eventually to move to American theaters.
I hope she shows her breasts.
If you have ever wondered if it's true about the Wizard of Oz and Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, you'll soon get your chance to find out if the myth is true.
I know Joe Arden wonders about that every night.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the most important thing in his life.
Turner Classic Movies is showing the film on July 3rd with the Pink Floyd album playing on its second audio channel. If you don't get TCM's FAP at your house, the host
BFD.
The host will tell you how to synchronize it yourself using your own album tape or CD.
If I'm home, I would watch that.
Sure.
I swear to God.
July 3rd. The legend is that there are so many coincidences in the song and in the movie.
Coincidences?
Well, I wrote coinciding and then changed it at the last minute.
Joe says if you're going to watch TNT with the CD.
Right.
Make sure you have a B-O-N-G.
Well, the legend is there are so many coinciding events on the two classics that Pink Floyd must have done this on purpose. Now, among the evidence, the Scarecrow dances to the line, got to keep the loonies on the path, and Dorothy awakes back in Kansas to the words, home, home again.
Now, Buzzy, hold on. We have lots of calls coming in from New York now.
Oh, good.
You know, because now the show is just starting in New York.
That's
we
right.
We the
right.
phone number. We like saying hello to people. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm just calling now to tell you guys you put on a quality show, Don and Mike, a fantastic, thrilling, exciting show, and I listen to it every day since you're on in New York.
Right. Thank
you. That's great. We appreciate that.
Very
that's
nice.
Wonderful.
Where are you calling from?
I'm actually on the Palisades Parkway, stuck in traffic here.
Wow. Oh, in Jersey. Well, listen, you'll hear yourself about 11 o'clock tonight.
Indeedy-deedy.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
That's very nice. That's terrific.
The phones ring every time that we sign on in New York, which
right.
is like 4 hours after the show. It's confusing.
I'm liking the vibe we're getting from New York City, though, in a very big way.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, it's Ward from New Jersey.
Ward from New Jersey. Hello,
right.
Ward.
I wanted to take a shot at the Secret Sound, though, since I'm in New York. I don't get to get any live attempts at it.
Robbie, you got the sound? Pull it out. I'll give Ward a guess at
excellent.
It.
Excellent.
I'll give him one guess.
Yeah, I heard the preview last night, and I'm still confused, but I'm willing to take a gamble.
All right, Ward, here you go. Here is the sound for $500.
Okay.
That's
it. Wow, it sounds like a credit card machine.
No, but no. That is
An excellent guess.
Brilliant guess.
An excellent guess.
Now that's a guess.
I'll let you know a hint. That's the guess that Mike wrote down the first time he heard it.
That's exactly right. Wow. Absolutely. Great minds think alike, sir.
Thank you,
okay.
Ward.
I'll be listening to the show later. Thanks
you'll,
a lot.
You'll hear yourself tonight. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, bye now.
Bye, Ward.
See you later.
Bye.
Say goodbye to June.
Hello.
Here's the story of a girl.
Give on up, man, and have a meal. And enjoy the Don and Mike show.
Tomorrow, as you know, the Tom Gavin Survivor Challenge.
All right.
Plus tomorrow, a new episode of As the World Ahern.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And we'll have on our friend Flounder, the original Flounder from Animal House, Stephen Thirst.
He's a good guy. We had a great time with him last time.
And tomorrow we're going to be giving away a beer-making kit.
Yeah!
Courtesy of TNT.
Wow.
Don't miss Animal House Saturday night at 8, 7 Central on TNT. And we'll qualify someone else to win $16,000 worth of birthday wishes from TNT. We will give away the $16,000 on August the 4th.
Fantastic.
All of that on tomorrow's episode, but mainly tomorrow's show, all about Survivor.
Right. Yes, and Tom Gavin having a wonderful day for himself.
16 people. You'll meet them individually. Make sure you're listening to the show start to finish tomorrow if we come into work.
Right.
Now here is Buzz.
In sports, Sosa mania runs rampant in New York as the Yanks and the Cubs continue to talk about a trade that would put Sammy in pinstripes. But Sammy's very close friend, Manny Alexander, says Sosa's first choice would be to play for the Boston Red Sox. Manny's an infielder.
Which is exactly why it ain't going to happen.
I agree with you totally.
Mike asked me about this in the office the other day.
Right,
and I said, you know what? I don't even follow baseball, but I know this. If the Yankees want him, the Yankees are going
to
get him.
And I'm in a mode now where I have to completely low-key it, because the more enthusiasm I show and the more excitement I get about the possibility that they would get him to play for the Red Sox, the further away he will go. And so, I mean, I you know, it's not going
to
happen.
And it's the worst-case scenario for any Red Sox fan that if he's going to go to any team, he would go to the Yankees.
The Yankees, absolutely. Right. If he gets to play for the Red Sox, if they made the trade and he was coming to the Red Sox, he'd probably break his leg getting off the plane. That's what would happen.
Well,
I believe in the curse. I truly do.
Manny Alexander, of course, plays for Boston. Sosa's been saying he wants a contract extension before any trade goes down. But Manny says Sammy would gladly drop that demand if he got the kind of offer he wants from Boston. Sammy and Manny are from the same part of the Dominican Republic. They are former teammates, and they talk by phone almost every day.
I don't think there's any chance at all.
No, okay. he's going to be a Yankee.
Yeah.
Go Yankees.
I know you're Mr. Pinstripes.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
They're my team.
I don't. I'm sorry I said it. There, I said it. I don't.
Always, not at all.
Always honest. And as the U.S. Open gets underway.
Just like me, Buzz. Yes. That's why I scream. I love the New York Yankees.
That's right.
Hell, I love Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since they went on strike.
Oh, God.
I freaking love them.
Now I'm getting queasy.
As the U.S. Open gets underway, we're hearing that golf course architect Robert Trent Jones has died in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He was 93 years old. Kind of a cool...
Maybe your dues will go down now.
Man, you should have seen him spit that water.
Oh, that's good.
Good night, everybody.
So long, everybody.
Kind of a cool send-off for the late golf great Payne Stewart yesterday at Pebble Beach. The fellow golfers who survive him were at the green on the 18th hole for several 21-ball salutes. Almost everybody involved in the Pebble Beach tournament was there, but a few didn't show.
He's 6 under now, you know.
And yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
And the biggest name among the no-shows was Tiger Woods, who often talked about his friendship with Stewart. Woods, much to the dismay of other golfers, was on the practice green about 50 yards away at the time. And finally,
Tom Green offered a one-ball salute for Payne Stewart.
He did indeed.
Giving everything he has.
Then he licked a mouse.
And finally, what could be worse than getting stuck in a porta potty? Stick around, you're about to find out.
Oh, man.
It started when a man that police won't identify because he's been through enough already lost his keys in a portable toilet in Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania.
Where are they?
Pennsylvania, by the way, is where all the weird stuff happens. Now, it used to be places like Costa Rica and Kuala Lumpur, but now, for some reason, it's Pennsylvania.
I'm not leaving.
Until I find these keys. Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
There he is. And as I said, the man got stuck while he tried to retrieve his keys from the awful mess down below.
There they are. Oh, look at me.
You're stuck.
I've got S all over me.
Some kids playing in a field nearby heard the man's cries for help. They
help, Carrie! Carrie! Help me!
The kids told their mom, and mom called the police.
Call the police, kids.
Police found the man, right side up, stuck in the fiberglass hole right around his hips.
No, I was stuck with my head was stuck.
Again.
My enormous head.
No, you were right side up, and the fiberglass hole was tight around your hips. You couldn't get out.
Oh, I'm in pain. Look at me.
And as they pulled him out, as the police pulled him out, they did so only to discover something even more embarrassing.
Oh, no.
What? He had removed his shoes and his pants. To conduct the search.
Yeah, sorry, my Birkenstock and my shorts.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
It's got to go. You know about tomorrow's episode.
Yeah. The Survivor Show with Tom, the Monster Gavin.
All right.
It all starts at noon, West Coast, 3 p.m. East Coast. Don't miss a minute of the show because we're going to start out tomorrow meeting the 16 contestants and putting them into two separate teams.
That'll be great.
That is on tomorrow's episode, plus all the other stuff we mentioned. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am the 100th caller.
Right. What's your name?
Darren from Spokane.
Darren Spokane on KFAN Radio. Darren, you have won a $50 gift certificate to the World of A&E catalog.
Thank you.
Please watch Biography, all premiere June on A&E. A&E presents a new biography every night in June at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, only on A&E, and we thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All the way in Spokane, Washington. That's it.
All right.
We're ready for the Survivor Show tomorrow.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And we will see you then when we meet the contestants. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
And good luck with your nose.
Thank you.
And thank you and good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie. Throw your German officer's hat in the air.
Come on.
Just like Sydney. Tyler.
Come on.
Moore.
Come on.
You know, that tape.
It's been dying.
That tape is so effed up.
I love it.
You got to record that tonight,
I
Rob.
Will.
Every night that tape effs up. There you go.
Come on.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Clockwork.
Very nice. Clockwork.
Very nice.
Meow. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Ken.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks for being behind us all the way. Thanks, Ken. Superman thanks you, and so does Lois. We will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as